What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6:02 on this Tuesday night. Welcome back from the holiday weekend. Hope y'all had a good one. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock, a four-hour run. Tyler Zuli is here as well, producing the show. And we have a lot to talk about. Did not know that we were going to be starting off with Mike Missanelli announcing that he was going to be having his last show today. As I said, during his final segment there and after sound off, I've known Mike now for almost 15 years now. And Mike and I have had a lot of discussions and all. At first, just like everybody else, when I got here as an intern in 2008, early 2008. Sixers season was still going on, the Flyers as well. Eagles were just finishing up. And as an intern, you know, you're just doing everything you can to try to make yourself in, to fit in and seep through and get through the cracks and all and find your way. But Mike came in April, and we started to really pick up some things as a new station. And Mike made it one of those deals where there was some validation to it when Mike Missanelli put his name on the station. And he has done so in that time slot, the 2-6 time slot. Since then, he has done a fantastic job, and it has been amazing to just know him and become friendly with him and get those occasional texts where I finally started to doing shows and he giving tips by listening and telling me what he heard or what he felt like I was doing well, what I wasn't doing well, which is the most important thing that you want to hear, where you're trying to improve on things. And he was always gracious with that. Whether I knew it was coming or not, he would always send it my way. And occasionally just that random text, and it's like, oh, this is just Mike. And, you know, you get back to Mike when he does text. So I've been around him for a lot of years and finally having the opportunity to sit in this spot and on a regular basis, on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, taking over at 6 o'clock and all the conversations we've had, whether it was sports or non-sports, but it was always fun. And I listened to Mike just like everybody else did before I got into this business. So to hear him finally walk away and having to see him walk out, and it's an honor to sit here at the show after and have a chance to now speak with you, because it was an hour and 45 minutes. So we're not going to ignore it. We know what just happened. So if anybody does have some last minute things to say, some lasting things you want to say about Mike, feel free to call in 610-632-0975. It'd be my pleasure to sit here with you and allow that to continue to happen, even though he just signed off just about 10 minutes ago for his final show. So if you have some things that you want to say about Mike, again, feel free, 610-632-0975. He does listen when he leaves and goes home, so he will still hear it. I don't know if he'll change it because it makes him uncomfortable as far as hearing all the great things that people are saying about him. But for sure, if you want to call in, he will still be listening and you can hear him. You can let him hear your thoughts on him saying his goodbyes today. And with that, before we get into any sports conversation overall, we will certainly check in with Tyler as well and hear what Tyler's thoughts and what Tyler has to say about Mike. And it's just going to be different now without Mike in here. Just those conversations. I know he and I will keep in touch and we will still have our conversations about so many things. He and I were talking about basketball coming off my injury and getting back on the floor, and then his injury that he just sustained, that he just had to miss some time over having to, of course, get his leg right and get back to normal and being able to walk around. Now he's in the crutches. So when I was down, he checked in on me, and when he went down with his injury, first thing I saw when I saw him, we were talking about playing basketball. And he's like, yo, you will never believe what I just did. And he was explaining to me, because he was telling me about the new gym. He was like, he was going out there. I was going to go out there with him when I had some time to go out there, since we were both getting back out on the floor, run around with him a little bit on the court and play some hoops with Mike. And then he messes up his foot. So now he can't run around a little bit. But hey, he's going to take some time, rehab his foot a little bit, get it back to normal, and do his thing. So, look, I've gotten some great advice from Mike. There are things that we disagreed on with show stuff, sports topics, nothing in general. Like, we disagree, we got into these arguments. It'd just be normal sports stuff, and that's what friends do, right? You get it? You disagree about sports, and this is what sports talk is, and not just the host and the caller or the person on the other end of social media. No. Even the hosts, the producers, the friends, we all disagree here on different things during the shows. So Mike is no different. We disagree on stuff. And it was always fun to just sit there and go back and forth. And I hear his side, he hears my side. But in the end, it was always some laughter at the end. All of that, or I'm coming in, getting ready to do a pregame show for the Sixers. What do you think? They're going to win tonight? How are they going to win all this? Telling me something as far as a bet goes where he's like, put this one, I'm riding this one hard. Go for it. And that's just who Mike was. And so I'll remember all the good times that we've had, the good conversations that we've had, the really, you know, just the information that he's given me for me to do this job. And I will carry those things with me going forward as I sit here. I was really grateful to hear him say what he said about my work and me being an asset to the station. And I really appreciate him and what he's been able to do over his entire career, and then having the opportunity to work with him and be a part of the station with him and do shows with him. When we would do the crossover shows and he would have me in here, we would sit here and we would talk about a lot of different things. Mike just being Mike. So, again, we will open the phone lines up as we talk some sports. We are going to start off with the Phillies because they stink, and they are now, come on, guys. I mean, they're 11 and a half games out. This is ridiculous. And now we're reading articles about if you feel like Joe Girardi needs to be moved on from his position as the manager of this team, that's not going to fix the Phillies' problems. Well, look, 21 and 28, they have a problem, especially with the lineup that they have, the pitching being okay, and thinking that they will be much, much better than they actually are. And right now, looking at the Phillies in the standings, folks, we need to talk about them. We do. They are now 11 and a half games out of first place. They are 2 games back of the Braves, who are in second. They're only now a half a game up on the Marlins, who currently hold the 4th spot in the National League East, where the Phillies only have a half game up on them. So they have problems, they have issues, and we need to talk about not only the team, but Joe Girardi as well. So we had Philly stuff that we wanted to talk about, some other things that we're going to get into, and we will, but we know a lot of people want to talk about Mike announcing that today was his final day on the air. So again, feel free, 610-632-0975. We'll certainly take your phone calls. Tyler Zuli is producing the show like he does most nights here on our show from 6 to 10 here, weeknights. And Ty, good evening.
Hello. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to be back with you as well. Hope you had a great weekend.
I did.
And the floor is yours, man.
Yeah, so this was tough news to hear today. And quite frankly, it's not the only reason, but he's a major reason as to why I'm here where I am today. And that starts way, way, way before I took this job. It starts way, way, way before I was a ground crew member, and it starts way, way, way before I was an intern for Mike back in 2014. It starts with rides home from school in the car with my dad, and that's what we listen to. You know, we listen to some music, but when we listen to sports talk, we're listening to Mike. And that was Mike was a huge influence on me being in this industry and wanting to be a big part of this industry and wanting to be like Mike, no pun intended. But that's where it started at a young age. And it started to fester and grow as I got older. Started as I wanted to be a writer. Turned into I wanted to be a writer, I should say. Then it came back around as soon as I got into college. And this has been my passion ever since. So in a large part, both between being a listener and a fan as a kid and becoming a teenager and growing up into being an adult, in a large part between that and being a coworker and being an intern first and then being a coworker of Mike's and learning the ropes and learning what was good radio and what was bad radio and what made you stand out and how to prepare for shows and things like that. All of those things, I owe a huge debt to start my career to Mike. So it is difficult to not get to see him every day. We pass, you know, we interlap our shows, you and I, and of course Mike and Tyrone and Jen, and we get the chance to chat for a couple minutes, whether you're hosting and I'm producing or I'm hosting for you or whatever the case may be. I owe a big, big, big debt of gratitude to Mike for being pretty much the first one to want to put me onto this career path. So from being a kid and a fan and a listener to being a coworker, it's always been a pleasure.
Always
been a pleasure.
That's great to hear, man. So listen, that's what we want to allow you to do, and I think it's only right out of respect for his legacy, his history in the sports talk radio world. And just let's not forget, Mike was a writer first, so a lot of people remember Mike as a writer like I do. First, from his time also writing and covering sports here as well. So let's talk about it. Let's get your thoughts off about Mike as well. A lot of good things to say. 610-632-0975. And we will do that with you as best as we can. So let's start things off in Delaware with Richie tipping things off for us tonight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Richie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I just want to say, I'm in Lewis, Delaware, and I would pick my hotel, Morris, PA, based on the availability of NBC Sports Philadelphia. I would watch Mikey Miss, Tyrone, and Natalie Eganoff. Jennifer Scordo was good, too. She's just as good as Natalie Eganoff. And,
fantastic.
The only thing I didn't like was Wednesday General Knowledge. It's something the sports pope in New York would never do, go that far off the sports.
Well, I thought that was interesting because we all do that, where we take it a little bit out of the sports part and just add some other things to it because we are all sports, but we also have other interests, and we found out other people would like that part of the show. So I thought it was a smart thing to do.
I thought it was interesting that he came of age in the 70s when, The Who was big, but he moved on to, Alice in Chains in the 90s. He's kind of like me. He's, 10 years older than me, but I understood where he's coming from.
Well, listen, man, we appreciate you starting us off, Richie. Thanks, man. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on listening to Mike. General Knowledge, how many times do we do different shows where we start talking about movies and things where we have to talk about the real issues in the world? The pandemic, Mike mentioned that because of one of the sound-off calls. That was tough, man, because a lot of shows that we did early on were not about sports. It was about the fact that the pandemic part, then you get into the political aspect of it and how all of that has shaped where we were at that particular time. And that's just the nature of sports. Sports can bleed into a lot of different things. And that's what General Knowledge is, to test things out and to see how smart you are, how smart we are, how smart maybe we aren't. and missing on some things, whether it's music or movies or reading some books and things of that nature. It's always tough. So, but to bring that part and to bring that fun nature to the airwaves, it's always interesting. And yes, absolutely, to hear it on the radio and then see it on television. To think about that too. As many people had a chance to listen to sports talk radio, it was never on television. So then when you have Mike and Ty on television, then that in the past and now Jen, and being able to see everyone on television, it was really cool, right? Sports talk radio, but live on TV. Live on TV. They did that. Alan is in Bear, Delaware with us here on 97.5. Alan.
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about you, about Mikey, Miss, and sports talk in television in general.
Yeah.
No matter whether our teams are good or bad, our sports talk shows are just great. They're off the hook. From you, Tyrone, Anthony, I can go on and on. Guys like one-name stars in my mind. The more I think about it and the more I put my mind to it, you know, I think Mike Missanelli is the GOAT. He's, you know, I think about all those Steve Fredericks, Tony Bruno, Angelo Howard, so on and so on. But the more I add it up in my head and, you know, all his talents, you know, Mike's got the points, the rebounds, the assists, the triple-doubles. He's just the GOAT. And I hope he's listening, and I hope he hears that.
He heard you, man. Alan, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words for us all here at The Fanatic. And yeah, man, I mean, look, you know, it's kind of like we got to talk about where you first met Mike on the air or newspaper, or did you see him out? And I was like, oh, I just met the guy that was the writer, or I just met the guy who's on the radio or on television, or you know, how you got involved. Like Tyler said, many people get into this because they've heard Mike, and Mike kind of pulled them in. You were already a sports fan, but then you get to part of the sports fan And then you meet somebody like Mike who's doing the job and you say, oh, okay, maybe well, I can do that too. It's not easy, especially when you start to get into the actual deal of trying to do it. And once you get in there, you start to figure things out. You get some really great advice and all, but you started somewhere. It always starts with the foundation of sports. But some people just catch sports talk radio in passing without even knowing that it was there. And that's how you get involved. And that's where a lot of people have actually just listening over the years and reading tweets and things of that nature, where so many people would say they didn't hear it, they just caught it in passing, didn't know it existed, and that's how you got caught on. That's how you latched on to it. And Mike was one of those people that you latched on to and you could never go away. Whether you liked him, disliked him, he was compelling and you had to listen. And then eventually you like him. And in the end, when he walks away like this, you're like, I guess I really did like him. 610-632-0975. Angela is in Burlington with us next on The Fanatic. Angela, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, thank you.
I just want Mike Missinelli to know he put a extreme positive outlook on an escape in life. After his father passed, this was his escape. And I just want Mike Missinelli to know that. Sorry, I'm not very good with words, but...
For your son.
Sorry?
Are you talking about for your son?
No. My best friend.
Oh, your best friend. Okay, got you.
Matt Hammond. This was his escape all the time, and sending to Mike Missinelli. Ever since his father passed, so...
Oh, well...
I mean, it's really amazing, so... I just want to thank him.
Well, thank you so much, Angela. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure Mike would be touched by what you said and all. I'm glad he was able to bring that to your friend and that family and all, you know, through the tough times. And this being the escape of listening not only to Mike, but in sports talk overall, but Mike being one of his favorites and being able to have that and share that with him. It's pretty nice to hear. I'm glad you were able to share that with us as well. And again, normally you check in and we're talking about getting ready to set things up for our show and all the sports talk that we're going to have. And we will, because this is a sports talk station, as you know. But one of the sports talk icons, he announced today that today was his last day on the air. And we wanted to make sure that we paid our proper respects and allow him to hear from people. He announced it around 4:15 and... You know, 4:15, not enough time, right, for people to say their goodbyes to Mike with commercials and all, and the phone call, the time, the limits. They're all with the phone calls. So we wanted to give everybody an opportunity as we started our show off tonight and allow you to also, as Mike is headed home, wherever he's going, home tonight, to allow Mike to hear from you even after he signed off here tonight. So we wanted to extend that to you. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Tyler Zuli is here producing. Let's go to Barry in Uptown next on The Fanatic. Barry.
What's up, Devon? What's up, Tyler?
What's up, Barry?
Mike took me off. He caught me off guard today.
He caught a lot of people off guard. Yeah.
Off guard. Yep. I cried. I definitely cried because it took me back when he said it. It took me back to when I was like, I'm 30 now. So it took me back by like 10 years. I was working at Home Depot, super high, just annoyed, trying to find something to pass the time. So I popped in my AirPod and I turned on 97.5 The Fanatic. And it's been like that ever since. So when he hit me with that, it kind of took me aback. And I know the entire tri-state probably felt his pain. And when he started crying, that was the tip of the iceberg for me, because Mike means so much. Like, I didn't even listen to sports talk radio until I started listening to him. I didn't listen to the other stations. It was 97.5 with the Cuz, the Tuners, Devon, and Mike. Like, it's just like, it's weird not hearing Mike's name no more. So,
yeah.
You know, I just wanted to let Mike know he's appreciated and that he's loved and he's the GOAT.
Yeah, man. And I appreciate that, Barry. Thanks, man. Appreciate the kind words and a great run. By Mike. And of course, we want to allow you to say your piece, even though he has signed off for the evening. Matt, Sam, Joe, everybody that's there, listen, hang on. Give us a few more minutes. We got to take this quick break. We come right back. Matt, Sam, Joe, everybody that's there. We'll get to you when we come back. Again, the numbers 610-632-0975. We'll talk some sports. The Phillies do play tonight. They play the Giants. They keep frustrating us all. So we have to talk about them, whether it's Joe Girardi or just the mix-ups in the infield or the lineup or the pitching staff, whatever issues you're having with the Phillies and so much more. 610-632-0975. We'll come right back. We'll take your phone calls on this Tuesday night back from the holiday weekend. Hope you had a great one. We're discussing more of the sports when we get back, but obviously keeping the Mike Missinelli conversation going as well right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens, 97.5, The Fanatic. It's 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 6:30, 97.5, The Fanatic. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's Diamond Destination. 610-632-0975. Talking some Phillies, maybe, and obviously making sure that we do the proper thing here and show our respects because of Mike's last day today. I just had the pleasure of working with him for so many years, knowing him since 2008. And after a while, it just became like, oh, what's up, Mike? You know, just walking in and being able to walk into the studio or text him, whatever. And it just became that. And now with him saying his goodbyes, we wanted to make sure that we said our proper goodbyes to him today. Everybody having an opportunity to say something here on the air, because an hour and 45 is just too short of a time for you to all say what you need to say to Mike after all the many years that he has been on as a legendary sports radio talk show host, a sports figure in this town. And we wanted to allow people again to say their piece. 610-632-0975. The funny part about it, though, if you want to say funny, was how Ty and Jen had to, right, Tyrone and Jen had to let him know, like, yo, you are a big deal around here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and I appreciate the humbleness.
Yeah.
I work with, and I'm going to speak about you in the third person for a second. I work with somebody who I believe is one of the most humble people on the planet. You always deflect praise. You always say it's our show. You always say it's the caller show as well. And I think everybody on the line and everybody that listens would agree with me on that one. Mike was the same way today. It was, you know, there is a certain air to being like, no, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who had a job and it was really, really cool. And I had an awesome opportunity to hang out with all of you each and every day. But the reality of the situation is it's far more than that. You know, we've had people already that have talked to us, people that have said it on Mike's show, people that I'm sure have tweeted it and things like that, where it's, you know, you welcome people in, you kind of get welcomed into people's homes. You get welcomed into people's cars. You get welcomed into people's living rooms. You get welcomed into bars. Like, I've had, you know, friends, send me pictures. Hey, look who's on TV. And it's Mike and Ty and Jen. And it's me and you filling in or whatever the case may be. And, you know, there is a larger than life aspect to it. So I certainly appreciate the humble aspect to it. But Tyrone and Jen are correct. It's a much bigger deal, the person and the host that Mike is, for sure.
100%. 100%, man. And sat here and, you know, it's not easy to do. I mean, to get emotional the way that he did and allow people in to see that, it was real. So want everybody to have a chance to say their piece to Mike while he's still maybe in the car and listening. So let's go back to the phones. We'll get to the sports as we go along, certainly, because we have a lot to talk about. Real fast, Matt, before we get to that, Ty, what did you make of the Phillies this weekend as we get ready for the Giants tonight? And, of course, starting off their series against the Giants on Monday,
yeah,
losing again. 11.5 games back, man. 2 games back of the Braves in the second spot in the East. Only a half a game up on the Marlins. 21-18. Joe Girardi is still here. He's still here.
He's here because of optics. You can't, and although I don't think that this is true, he's here because of optics. He's here because you can't fire your manager when the manager you fired with to have this guy come in,
so I heard,
is in town.
I heard John Kincaid say this on the morning show last week.
Like, yeah, it's
can't
an,
do it.
He's certainly right. John had the beat on this. It's an optics thing. I said this yesterday. I don't need any help to look stupid. I'm plenty good at that by myself. But the Phillies made me look really, really stupid this weekend because all I did was sit there and say, they're going to make the playoffs. Things are going to be fine. I understand that it's a bad situation right now. This team is too talented to not make a third wild card spot when the fact that six of the 15 teams in the National League make the playoffs. And they made me look stupid for 72 straight hours. So I'm not defending them anymore. No. I still think they're going to make the playoffs, but I'm not going to defend them anymore.
But you know what makes me go back to? The one caller we had, remember? The one caller we had?
What did he say, 72? 70,
yeah, he says 70 to 72 wins. We were like, no way.
No way.
Stop, you're going too far. I mean, look, that still makes it kind of, you know, a little too far, but he's not wrong, at least how we're looking at things right now. My goodness, this team. 610-632-0975. Matt in Burlington joining us here on the Fanatic. Matt, what's going on?
How you doing? You hear me?
I got you loud and clear, man.
Okay, yeah, I was calling in because I've been a long-time listener, and my father used to listen to him all the time, and my dad passed away 3 years ago. And when Tyrone said something like, you know, you don't know how big you are in this city, or this is my, you know, like yep. This is my first on call, like I said, and he don't even realize that outside of sports, you know, a way for me to get my mind off of being depressed and stuff was coming in the car at 2 o'clock and turning him on. And for him to say, you know, he's canceling the day, it's, I'm trying not to get emotional, but for him to, because my dad's death was unexpected, and when he went so quick, it was just unexpected that day. So today, it kind of repeats itself for me. So it's with me, like I'm being stripped again of my actual outlet to my father, because he used to get my mind off my dad. And now that he's gone, it's, I just want him to know how much he helped me get through my days when I had some dark days. And, you know, I just put on Mike, and he just talked about life, whether it's, you know, some pasta or the restaurants he's talking about outside of sports.
Right.
When you talk outside of sports, you touch people that actually going through something. And I never met him. I never called to his show, but I want him to hear my voice and know that he touched people that don't even call in. And he had an impact on my life when my father passed away.
Yeah. Well, again, sorry to hear about your dad, Matt, but again, glad that, you know, you were able to connect with Mike through, as you said, the love that your dad had by listening to
it. I hope he hears it.
I hope so too, man. And listen, thanks, man. Don't be a stranger. And we hope to hear you going forward. Really appreciate that. And we'll get a lot of stories like that. Really, we'll get a lot of stories like that. And that's one thing that I have learned about being here when you do connect with a lot of people in this business, that there are some really humble people. You think they come off a certain way, but they are really humble people. We always get questions. Yo, how's Mike? How's Anthony? What's John like? What's Tyler like? Was Tyler cool or Tyrone? You know,
the answer to is Tyler cool is no. I've never been cool a day in my life.
And look, I'm always like, yeah, look, first of all, I only go off of my experiences. And my experiences are, they're all good with me. So, you know, what do you want me to say bad? I'm not saying anything bad. Even if you had something to say bad, I may try to change your mind. I might not, but I'll say, hey, look, give him another chance because I think you'll be pleasantly surprised about, you know, who you're talking about and what they're bringing to the table. So I'm not surprised to hear that story there from Matt again. And we've had so many people that, yeah, listen to Sports Talk Radio because they were raised on it by their parents. And when you lose your parent who pulled you in on Sports Talk Radio, a lot of people, I'm sure, connected with Mike, and to continue to do that on your own and have that as Matt did, that's great to hear. And I hope he does continue to listen as Mike signs off today. It won't be Mike, but doesn't mean we won't still do a good job and maybe hopefully still have a chance to speak with you and have you as a caller and most importantly a listener here on the station. 610-632-0975. We head to Abington to check in with Sam tonight on the Fanatic. Sam, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, listen, three quick thank yous and then a Phillies question.
Sure.
First of all, Devon, thank you. I mean, you're a class act, man, for allowing us to take up some of your time, you know, to give some accolades to Mikey Mitchell.
The only way I felt like it needed to be done tonight there.
Yeah, and listen, I don't agree with I don't like the decision that was made, but it would be amiss if we didn't thank 97.5 for the Mike Missanelli show for as long as we had it. It was one of the best talk shows on radio. And also thanks to Mikey Miss for all his years of excellent broadcasting. Whenever I was talking about sports with somebody, I always wanted to know what Mikey Miss had to say about it. And again, we're going to miss him. Now, my Phillies question, and I'll hang up and let you guys answer. What do you say to the guy who says that getting rid of Girardi isn't going to change the defense, isn't going to change the relief pitching?
Yeah, I agree with it that it's not going to do that, but there's a part of it in it that he has his hands in as well. And at some point, while you can't continue to change the management, whether it's upstairs or the manager in the dugout, something has to give. When do we figure out that his voice is no longer being heard, right? And he might be part of the problem, and they have to make a decision of moving on from him. Something has to give here. So when they say that he can't do it, and like, look, Doc Rivers, he didn't turn the ball over. You're right. And I back Doc Rivers, because Doc Rivers didn't turn the ball over. He did have them prepared. That was the player's fault. Sometimes it is the player's fault, and then other times when you start to look at the analytics aspect of it, and he's not going by baseball feel, because we as baseball fans believe that, hey, Joe, maybe you shouldn't have made that move right there. Or maybe, Joe, you should have left Aaron Nola in a little bit longer, or taken him out sooner and having just a baseball feel instead of going by numbers in that binder. That's where we get frustrated and then go back and say, yes, he did not do that on the field, but he was a part of the decision that was made for that to happen on the field.
Good points. I hear you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And Ty, when we read that story from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic and others,
we're saying, I've seen quite a few people tweet that out.
It's not his fault. Well, kind of.
It's not his fault. Like, he's not the one. It's kind of like the Doc Rivers thing. Like, Doc Rivers is not the one that's missing set screens, or is not the one that's not knocking down threes.
Take it to Brett Brown. Go to Brett Brown.
Brett Brown, the same thing. It's anybody who is the head coach or the manager or whatever the position is titled for your team. You're not doing anything on the field, the court, the ice, that is going to be, like, statistically driven. Of course, you're not a player. But you do have the ability to change the outcome of games with strong managerial decisions. Let's go to basketball. Rotations, set plays, ATOs. Let's go to baseball. Rotational development, who you use in your bullpen in what particular instance. Setting a similar lineup for consistent nights or consistent weeks. You have the ability to change games for the better or for the worse.
Yep.
And while he's not directly impacting the game on the field, he is directly impacting the game in the dugout. And at best, at very, very best, he's been a net zero for this team. And more than likely, he's a net negative. There's no way that you can say, well, he doesn't change this or that, but he's a problem too. And at least you're fixing a problem in that regard.
Yep, absolutely. 610-632-0975. Sometimes it is the coach or the manager. Is that the final answer here? Maybe not. But look, this team has not made the playoffs since 2011. I can't even believe. I mean, we know that to be true, but I sit here and I fix my mouth to say that, and I'm still like, really? 2011? I even want to give them 2012, even though we know that that is not true. But my goodness, since 2011, they have not made the postseason. Just crazy. 610-632-0975. And I thought he was the right choice to bring in. Clearly, I was wrong. Vivian in Mount Airy next on the Fanatic. Vivian.
Hi. Listen, I just found out from my son, Troy, told me that Mike was leaving.
Yes.
I remember meeting Mike at Pollock School. He had a niece and nephew that were in the after-school program, Miss Miller, and he picked them up one day, and I'd seen how tall and handsome he was, his sister's two children. But I also wanted to say that I listened to him a lot. I loved him on the show, and he always was kind of forthcoming and honest about his opinions on, you know, the subject at hand. So I just wanted to call. I'm shocked to hear that he's leaving. I don't know the reason or whatever, but I just wanted to say that I do remember meeting him. He was such a gentleman, and I will miss him on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Vivian, for sharing that.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. Have a nice evening.
You too. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. you know, this is what we're doing tonight. We want to allow people to continue to say some nice things about Mike as he has his final show today. 610-632-0975. Done that for a lot of people, just knowing that you had to turn on at 2 o'clock right here on the Fanatic. And whether it's news breaking, whether it's Charles Barkley coming in here for a full 4 hours in the summer, like he has done for the past few years, and the interaction that you would see with people at FanFest when we would have that at Xfinity Live with so many people. Just cool stuff. Seeing people take the field of 64 from Mike in the past and make it their own, where he got creative and along with March Madness turned the field of 64 into from, I don't know, field of 64 movies and or actors and actresses, musicians, athletes, the field of 64, how important that was. And then everyone else started to do it. So even when we do things, we try to, you know, we don't steal it, but we try to do it in a different way. Try to do something and change it a little bit. But it comes from the foundation of the field of 64 for a lot of people. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday night. 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975, talking some fills. But following Mike, his final show today, if you did not hear, Mike Missinelli announced at 4:45 here on The Fanatic that today was his last day, his last show. So we wanted to make sure that while he had an hour and 45 to allow people to speak on it, we wanted to give them some more time, you all, some more time to speak on it since he stepped away. So again, 610-632-0975. You're sitting in traffic, you're sitting at home, you're cooking dinner, watching, you know, us watching anything. And you just, but you have us on. Again, 610-632-0975. And you can speak about Mike Missinelli and his legendary career.
Yeah, one of the things that you were talking about while I was just screening that call was, you know, all the different segments that they've had over the years. And there's no doubt in my mind, it's not an original thought that we had, we just had a different spin to it. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind that General Knowledge Wednesday helped us spawn Family Game Night. And it has helped the morning show spawn their game day. And, you know, different topics have, you know, given way to different show topics for us as we follow up every night. So, you know, much like we said earlier, there's a big debt of gratitude just for our show. Not just me personally or you personally or us professionally. Our show as a whole, I think there's a big debt of gratitude.
No doubt about it. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Lehigh Valley and check in with Jack here tonight. Jack, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for getting our minds off the Phillies.
Hey, man, can you believe it? Look, we didn't expect them to go out there and win the World Series, at least not at the moment. Maybe they would have done something throughout the season to make us change our minds, but 21-28, 11.5 games back, Jack, where we are now, tonight is their 50th game, and this is where they are? So disappointing.
When the guy said 72 games, I thought, no way, he might be right.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yep.
But I wanted to talk about Mikey Miss, and I lived in Philly for a while, and I moved, my whole life I lived in Philly, and I moved up to the Valley, and thank God for the app. But the Kanye West power intro music at 2
from
o'clock.
From PR, yeah.
It's something that I looked forward to. It was something that I, it got me through my day. I was in my car a lot, and I listened to Mike a lot. And I met him at FanFest. There was a long line. The first FanFest I think you guys had, there was a really long line, and he was out there saying hi to everybody. And I was with my wife, and I didn't, and I was like, I don't want to bother him. And I went over and said hello to him, and he talked to me for like 20 minutes, and I'll never forget it. And, I don't know. He's a legend. He's a legend. And I hope he doesn't stop giving his opinion because we all, I know I appreciate it.
He won't. He can't. That's Mike. Yeah. Mike has an opinion on everything. He will absolutely still share his opinion some way, some form, as he said, whether it's Twitter or his writing on his website or some podcast or something, as he pointed out. He will always give his opinion.
He's a legend of the game, and we'll sure miss him. But the Fanatic's still great. I enjoy listening to it, and I enjoy listening to you. Thank you so much.
You got it, Jack. Thank you so much for the kind words. Mike is Mike is someone that has an opinion on many things. So Mike will have an opinion on many things, no matter what. So don't worry about that at all. 610-632-0975, whether you disagree or agree, he pulled you in, though. He would pull you in. He would definitely pull you in. Let's go to Dave in Center City with us here on 97.5. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
How you doing?
I have no family. I have Aunt Priscilla, who I mentioned, who's about 88. My family is 97.5. We lost the patriarch of our family today. And, you know, I was kind of caught with my pants down, because I'm pretty sure I know his contract runs fiscal year to fiscal year, which means the end of June. So I thought we had plenty of time, rocking chair, grandfather clock, have celebrities come on and give them a proper send off. So, yeah.
Well, then look, that's why we look, you know, it didn't happen that way. So we're doing it now. And, he decided, you know, he did it the way that he did it today. He said his piece, and we want to make sure we allow Dave as your family. We want to allow people to say their piece.
Yeah. And I only, you know, hope that the baton gets past the club Tyrone. Some of these young bucks, these young warriors that I call on the weekend, maybe they could step in. Maybe Martinez wants to bring the ball back. But, man, I love you, Mikey Miss.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you, man. Thank you. 610-632-0975. And Dave is a regular caller. As Dave said, you know, family. Get to see Dave every now and again. So, with that, you are all family and friends out there.
You always talk about family.
Always family and friends. Always family and friends out there. So that's what we do.
Because you always say, we always talk about this. You disagree. You have a conversation. Might get a little heated on the air. They call back 2 days later. Everything's cool.
Yep.
See everybody in person.
Yep.
We dap it up.
Yep.
We hug it out. It's family. You're right. It's cool.
And we move on.
One of the few job mediums that allows you to do that and allows us to have that ability where we talk to everybody. We talk to Nate, we talked to Spider, we talked to Dave, we talked to Gerald, we talked to everybody. And then we get to see him in person once or twice a year, maybe. And it's like you saw him yesterday.
Yep.
So cool.
Yep, nothing changed. Absolutely. And the only thing that changes here is the time. And we will get to the other side of the time here. 610-632-0975. Aaron, Tom, Rob, Al, and everybody. Actually, two open phone lines for the first time since we've gotten underway. People wanting to talk about Mike, his legendary career, today being his final day. So we will do that with you. But we do have to take a quick break again. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. We will have leftovers from Tyler Zuli at 945. We're mixing in the Phillies. We'll talk about a few other things that we did have planned before the news came in the 4 o'clock hour. So we'll keep talking about Mike and everything else right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. Almost 97.5 The Fanatic. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you here on this Tuesday night. Welcome back from the holiday weekend. Hope you all had a great, safe one, whether it rained or whether it was hot and you just enjoyed yourself. Yesterday was hot. 91. Today's hot. It's burning up out there. It's scorching. So I hope you all...
Beautiful.
Well, you know I'm not complaining about it since I don't like the cold. Just saying that it's hot.
So I know that this is like the cheesiest weather small talk conversation in the world, what I'm about to say. The conversation of the it's not the heat, it's the humidity thing is what gets you. And I know that that's like, wow, Tyler, you standing around the water cooler really having some good conversations there. But it's true. And today, like at least it was not humid. It was just hot. But I think you can deal with hot. Humid's where it gets you.
For sure. And today, you know, just getting into the car, I was parked, and you're away from the car for what, like an hour and a half, and you come back, and no matter what color car you have, whether you have tinted windows or anything, it's hot when you get in that car.
Doesn't matter if you have leather or cloth.
Cloth seats.
Doesn't matter. It's hot.
It's hot. Yeah, so it's going to cool down a little bit, but still be warm. Well, you know, we welcome that part, but it is hot. So again, after many years here at the station, Mike Missinelli announced, and to surprise for a lot of people, that he was walking away today. It was his last show. And I did hear, and I was watching, when he said he had an announcement at 4:15, I was thinking he was going to say something about Charles Barkley coming in for the summer, right? For a summer visit, early, maybe. The finals are getting ready to get underway on Thursday. So for people who would say, oh, Devon, you knew, or Tyler, you knew, I'm here. Let's go back to the phones. We'll get in some Phillies, some Eagles, some Sixers things. Leftovers with Tyler Zuli at 9:45 here on The Fanatic. Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Devon?
What's up, Aaron?
All right. Listen, man, it's my first time calling. Man, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm always listening when I'm at work. And I just want to appreciate what y'all have done for us as listeners and callers. Like, you guys, you know, you touch us in a special way. You know what I'm saying? Like, we invite you into our homes and our hearts. Like, we feel like we know you guys. Like, some of the best shows y'all had is not even about sports.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, last week you talking about the posters and stuff like that, man, and it took me back to my days, man, where I used to collect the jaws out the bubblegum machine with the kicker face mask. You got to put the stickers on the helmets and stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
like, so,
yep.
You know, that was awesome when y'all have shows like that. And Mike's been around forever, man. Listen, I've been a listener since the AM days. Man, and I didn't realize how long you've been at this station either.
Yeah, I was there as an intern. I got there right before Mike did, and I was interning, and, you know, and it's just great.
And listen, yeah. I know it's a cutthroat business, you know what I'm saying? I know radio stations go through a lot of changes, man, but we really lost a staple today. You know what I'm saying? He's the godfather, man, and I'm really going to miss him. And you know, I'm just waiting. I'm just looking forward for you guys to take over, man. Like I said, though, I love your show, man. I love your basketball knowledge, man. And I really don't get to call in a lot, but just know that we out here listening, man.
Y'all get us
through hard times, through life, through hard days at work, man. And we just really appreciate it, man. And I just want to thank you and everybody at the station. And most important, man, I want to thank Mike. So sticking out to us with all the wars we had, the ups and downs,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's all love, man. I just he deserves his flowers. That's all I got to say.
No question. Man. That's why we're talking about it now, why he can still hear it, man. That's why we're doing it. Thanks, man. Appreciate that, Aaron. Appreciate the kind words. Thanks for always listening. Whether you're able to call in or not, we really appreciate you checking in that way. And, yeah, some of those shows, like last week, we talked about the posters just randomly. And, by the way, for the people who didn't know what we were talking about, because I had a poster for Tyler when I was cleaning up. I was in the house, I was cleaning up, and you know how you just have some random things. And if you've listened to me before over the years, I talk very, very openly about my dislike for Kevin Garnett. Respect that he's a Hall of Famer, but don't like the guy.
One of the few places you and I differ big time.
Yes, and but, and Tyler now can attest to this, that I did like Kevin Garnett when he first came into the league. I didn't know much about him out of high school except for watching it, you know, the All-Star games, the high school All-Star games and all that stuff at the time. And that was the 94 draft, I think it was. 94 draft or 95 draft, because Iverson was 96. And when he got to the league, first of all, I thought Rashid should have been taking over him. So I'm like, all right, look, the kid looks good, but Rashid is Rashid. So, but when he got into the league, I'm like, okay, I want to give him a chance. And I liked his energy. I liked all that stuff. Then it just got out of control for me. I'm like, I just can't stand this guy. Then he does stupid stuff. He's elbowing Tim Duncan in the back of the head. When a fight is going on, Tim Duncan's trying to break it up. It's like, well, won't you do that to his face? So stuff like that turned me off. but I never lost the respect as a player, understanding his standing in the history of the game. So we got into it because I found a poster. It was from like 2000. And I liked Kevin Garnett again back then. But I never opened the poster. Never did. And I still had it in the plastic wrapping. Tyler Zuli is a big Kevin Garnett fan.
Big time.
Favorite player of all time. So I said, let me bring this poster. And I forgot. So the show turned into that last week as a side topic. And I brought the poster in for Tyler Zuli today. Still in the plastic wrapping. I don't know if his lovely wife will let him frame it and put it on the wall, but he has it.
I'm telling you, the only spot that it's going to be going is in the game room. I think I might be able to get the game room.
Still
maybe.
In good condition, as you can see in the plastic
great condition.
Wrapping from 2000. I think that's what it said on the bottom of the, you know, where it has the little writing. I mean, the little stuff.
Yeah, I'll check.
Yeah, I think it said 2000. So we have it all the way back from then. So I kept it up. I kept it in good shape. So it's on the bottom of the actual poster. Look on the poster. I think it says 2000. Nike. NBA. Garnett. Where at that time I would call him KG. Now he's just Kevin Garnett. Because I don't like him. All right. 610.
Yep. 2000.
Yeah, see.
22 years old.
Yeah, good condition. Let's go to Rob in North. 610-632-0975. We go to Rob in North Philly here on the Fanatic. Rob, how you doing? Yo, Rob. All right, Rob's not there. Rob, you not ready?
No.
Okay, what's up, Rob?
I'm sorry. Rob's here, man. Hey, listen,
all
man,
good.
You saying this boy leaving?
Mike is gone.
Oh, man, listen, let me tell you something, man. I love listening to him, you and him together. Y'all put all them game shows together every day. It was exciting to listen to. He don't care what the national media said about the city. He always had our back. Even though sometimes he had to say what they say because it was right there to say. But man, he was good, man. He was good. He's gonna be missed, man. I'm gonna definitely miss his voice, man. That introduction walk up like he's a home run hitter.
Yeah,
like
so
in baseball.
So when when Tyrone would start the show and he would put on the music, the kind
intro,
of Kanye beat.
It would be something classic like you knew
what was coming on the radio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm 50, so I'm that music would tick like, oh, I gotta listen to everything they gonna say today. I don't care. I don't even matter today. Like the music was popping.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, it's really good,
that's
man.
My job.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate that, Rob. You got it, man. I know you got a lot going on there. We appreciate all the compliments from Mike there, and for Tyrone and Jen for their show and what they do. The Open, yeah, and that's the one thing with the Open because PR has done Mike's Open for years now, but it has never changed. He's had two of them, and I think he introduced one on the Friday that he did.
Yeah, there was a summer one.
Yeah, on the Friday, a summer one. So that one as well. So PR had two of them, I think, and then you have the summer one as well. But, nah, this is you knew what was coming on the radio. And that's one thing that I do like to hear. When people say they hear the Open to my show, and it's, you know, Bad Boy for Life, Bad Boys for Life, Puff, and that's the Open, and to know people also, when they hear that, they know that I'm coming up. That's cool to hear. But when you know that there's that Open for Mike and that's coming up next, you know what it is. And yeah, you know, Mike's not going to be following it any longer as he announced today that today was his last day here on the Fanatic. Let's go to Al, who's in Knoxville, who wants to talk about Mike all the way from Knoxville. How you doing, Al?
Hey, Devon. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
I was at work at 4:15, and Mike started talking. I'm a chef. I made my whole kitchen staff shut up so I could hear what he was saying. And I've started listening to the show with him and Martinez. I'm an Eagles fan. And I just wanted to listen to something that people talk about Eagles sports. And I found the show on the radio. And I have been listening ever since. And that after by listening to Mike's show, I started listening to this young man on the show that followed him. And I fell in love with you. And I've called you a couple times. And I told you when you were just filling in and starting to get your legs under you. And I told you, man, you do a phenomenal job and you still do. But today's gonna be a punch. It's like losing an uncle. I mean, Mike is a voice. I don't know him. I've looked him up on the website a couple of times just see what he looks like. But he's always a fire person on the radio, and he tells it like it is. The best, and I don't agree with him all the time, but most of the time I do. And today is just such a punch gut day. It's I wasn't expecting to hear that come today, but he ties me into Philadelphia Eagles, right, the community. I've been up there to watch a football game a couple of years ago with one of my friends, and I fell in love with the people of the city because I am an Eagles fan through and through. And Mike Missanelli and Devon and all that, you guys make
thank you
me. Make me want to be a part of the community. I feel like I'm a part of the community. And I just lost a little part of me just today. It hurt so much just to hear that happen. But, Mike, if you're still out there, man, I want you to know you're going to be missed. You really just, you don't know how much you're going to be missed by so many people all over the country. There's people I've heard all from Arizona to Florida, everywhere that listens. I wait to write when the show comes on and listen to it. And I ride all the way through with you, my friend.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that, Al. Always great to catch up with you, man. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
You got it. Really appreciate it. Yep. So, you know, glad we were able to do that for a lot of people. You know, we'll be able to do that for you throughout the night. If you get in late, if you can't get in now, we will always have the lines open tonight to allow you to say your piece about Mike Missanelli. His last show today here on The Fanatic. All right, so the phone number's 610-632-0975. We do have to get into some sports things as well. And listen, we got a lot to talk about. You know, the Phillies, I was just looking at a highlight from Mickey Moniak. Good to have Mickey Moniak back. A lot of people just getting excited because you want some sort of infusion of something.
A lot of expectations coming along with it, though.
Is it? Really? I mean,
I think so.
But he can't be the savior. They can't look at him as being the savior.
I think you're seeing a lot of people that are looking at it
that's
that way.
That's unfair.
Just because the center field position has been so poor.
That's not. Well, just come in and play basketball. I mean, baseball.
Because, I don't disagree with
because
you.
Because that's unfair to ask him to be the savior. Problem. Right? To be the savior, that's a little bit more. A little bit more than you can really ask for him.
I don't disagree with you. I think that there's a contingency of the fan base that was overly excited about Mickey Moniak just because of spring training. And I think that there's a contingency of the fan base that is overly excited about Mickey Moniak simply because he was a first-round pick and a number one overall pick at that, to say finally that this guy has arrived as your starting everyday center fielder, this kid's got to perform. Fair or unfair, justifiable or not, I think that there is more pressure on him despite the fact that his presence isn't all that important. I mean, it is in the grand scheme of things, but it's not all that important compared to Castellanos and Harper and Schwarber and, you know, the front end of the starting rotation and things like that. But I think that there are going to be a lot of unfair expectations on Mickey Moniak just because he's back and he's not Herrera and he's not Quinn.
No, and I understand that. But look, it's not fair for him to come in after the injury. And now this is their 50th game they're being played tonight. With that game being played tonight, how do you expect the guy to come in and change things? Look, for him to come in and shore things up, fantastic. Come in, shore things up, that's great. You're looking towards the future, of course, based on him maybe securing that center field position and not having to worry. One less thing for them to worry about the remainder of this season around the trade deadline and obviously the future. But for anyone to expect him to come in and turn things around, that's unfair. He's still a young player, finally getting his shot in the majors, and he will not be able to turn things around. He is a piece. He is not the star. Stars do that. You can come in and you can, again, you can implement some sort of energy. You can come out there, play with some enthusiasm, and just simply play the position the right way in center field. But he's not going to change the overall outlook of this baseball team. That has to come from everyone else. It's mainly your big stars, your big money makers, and your manager, quite frankly, to change the dynamic of this season before it's too far gone. They're 11 and a half games back right now where they were just sitting behind the New York Mets in second place. They had a series with them. Now they have the Giants, and this is what they give us. 11.5 games back. They're now in third place behind the Braves, and they're playing the Giants. Not an easy thing. They started off poorly yesterday. No matter how many runs they put on the board, they lost. Doesn't matter. They lost. And Mickey Moniak cannot come in and be a savior.
So I'm not asking for savior. I'm not asking for hero ball. Or not even asking. I'm saying that the expectations aren't that. The expectations are to be an everyday consistent center fielder. And I don't even know if those are fair expectations yet, because the guy has had a cup of coffee with the Major League team, and he's coming back from a pretty substantial hand injury where he said he couldn't even grip a bat.
For sure.
When he was, you know, dealing with the injury. I think that the expectations aren't to be a superstar, aren't to be the everyday leadoff hitter. The expectations are to be the everyday center fielder and fill in a role at some point.
The rest of the season and going forward.
Right. And I don't even know if that is fair yet. And that's where I'm getting at. It's not for him to be MVP. It's for him to play every, you know, 5 out of 6 games and be consistent at somewhere in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's fair yet either.
No, I understand. I understand. And we do want to get everybody in who has some nice things to say about Mike Missanelli at 610-632-0975. So we will do that next right here as we go until 10 o'clock. We go to Warminster with Oz here tonight on 97.5. Oz, how you doing?
Hey, Devon. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I know there's 2 stations here in town, and I just want to know, you're the one who kind of brought me over to this one a lot.
Thank you.
And I know it's Mike's day, and, you know, but at the other station, it was a guy named Ray who left, and what I want to say is I just appreciate, you know, Sixers used to be my 4th team. Listening to you has made them my number 2 team behind the Eagles. Because it was always, you know, for me, it was always Eagles and Philly.
Yeah.
And it became Eagles and Sixers because once you understand the game and you get so much knowledge, so I'm actually just going to throw the mantle out for you. And, you know, if you can get that same, and I know you're good at it, but if you can get that same knowledge that with the Eagles that you have with the Sixers, it would just make like Philadelphia radio.
Well, listen, man, football has always been my second favorite sport. And growing up here, of course, the Eagles were number 1 for me.
You know what? Nobody's so level-headed and no hot takes and all that stuff. I just love listening to you, and I know it's Mike's day, but I'm just throwing this out at you, buddy.
Well, thank you, Oz. I appreciate the kind words, and I cannot wait, like many like you, for the football season to start in the fall. I cannot wait. And I appreciate the kind words about, you know, you listening to my Sixers points as well, but it's really the team. The team does what the team does, and I talk about it. And I'm glad you were able to jump in and pay a little more attention to it as well. And I'm still getting a lot of stuff on social media with people, you know, touched by, of course, Mike leaving today being his last day on the air. A lot of people sending in text messages or tweets, direct messages on social media because of the news heard today about Mike. So, you know, a lot of people feeling sad. But look, let's just talk about all the great things that Mike has done over his long career and how great he has been here on the Philadelphia airwaves. And again, as I said, people, let's not, you also read him as a writer, covering sports, columnist, beat writer, whatever he was doing. That's where you met Mike Missanelli. And you've been listening to him for so many years now. As today he announced that today was his final day on the air. Let's go to Father Sean in Parksburg with us here on The Fanatic. Father Sean.
Devon, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Just wanted to, I mean, I listen every day, and I was out with a classmate from the seminary today, and I come back and I heard something about Mikey Missanelli, and I'm like, whoa, what, you know, because I go back to Steve Fredericks and
yeah.
My dad, you know, back in the 80s, listening to Steve Fredericks when he was on by himself and other guys on other stations and all. But, you know, for years I've listened to Mike, and I think one of the challenges that I've always been so impressed with Mike about is, you know, he's coming on afternoon drive time. Everybody's talked about the same, you know, situations or breaking news or games, and I always appreciated his creativity and his perspective. And I appreciated all that with all the other hosts that are on there as well. I called, you know, Anthony and John a lot. And I called Mikey a couple of times. I met him a couple months ago at a Beers with Bob out in Havertown at the Barnabees.
Yeah.
And actually won tickets to a Sixers game, like a couple, like it was like the second game that Harden was playing, you know. My brother and I went. But I just wanted to thank Mike. I got a chance to meet him. I took a picture of him with Vincente from Lansdowne, and I got to meet Shunas and all that. But I also wanted to say to you, Devon, I've become a great fan of yours over the last few years. I haven't called, but I just like kind of I learned a lot. I thought I knew a lot about basketball. I'm 53 years old, and I like listening to you before and after the games. I've listened to you late at night after games and some of the knucklehead stuff that you have to, and how patient you are and how, you know, how you give people their time. And even though you might disagree with them, even be on completely opposite ends of the page there, I always appreciate it. Your gentleness towards others, you know, it's something, you know, our world certainly could use a lot more of. But I learned, and then I think about the fact that you guys have Bob Cooney, yourself, and D Lineham on there. That's a lot of Sixers and basketball knowledge.
Listen, appreciate being mentioned with those two and with Mike in the same sentence, Father Sean. So I really appreciate that. That's very kind of you. And
well, thank you, Devon. I'll be praying that your career continues to go, and pray for Mike that whatever he decides to do, he's a man of very varied interest.
Yes,
hopefully,
yes.
I know we'll be seeing him in some way,
absolutely,
you know, some creative way, because he's a very creative guy. And thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Father Sean. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
We'll hope
we talk to you again soon as we sign off there. Thank you. 610-632-0975. Diane, if you can hang on, we'll give you a chance to talk about Mike when we come back, and we'll get into a little more of our sports topics that we had planned for you this evening. Again, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic on this Tuesday. Devon Givens with you, 610-632-0975, as we discuss a lot today with Mike Missinelli announcing that today was his last show on the air this afternoon. So we've given everybody an extended opportunity to say goodbyes to Mike as he continues to listen and go from there and let everyone say their piece. So we wanted to do that, 610-632-0975. And we also wanted to talk a little sports, too, because we did have a game plan, and we had to audible a little bit, but we can audible back and still keep the conversation with Mike going like we will with Diane and David and everybody who's there wants to talk about Mike. But we did want to throw in a few other things as well, and starting with the quarterback situation again, because as we get closer, we are now approaching June 1st tomorrow, and we're getting to the summer months, and we're going to have OTAs, and we're going to have all these football things that happen. We're going to have last-minute free agent signings, things of that nature, and we're all going to continue to get excited about the Philadelphia Eagles because of what they've done, including the A.J. Brown piece of it, the draft, and then bringing in Hassan Reddick, bringing in Kazir White, and also James Bradberry, which was the icing on the cake for me. I'll get greedy and want another safety, but I'm okay with where they are right now. But
that's greedy.
That is greedy. It is greedy, but it's not a lot to ask because it is a position that you have on your football team that you need a starter. That being said, they have Marcus Epps. We'll see what he does with that particular spot. But also wanted to say this before we get back to Diane and David and everybody else. Also wanted to say this, too, because Dan Orlovsky put out a couple of tweets today, or was it today or yesterday? I think he put it out yesterday, actually. And he put those out, and in his tweets he was ranking quarterbacks, but not ranking quarterbacks by number, but ranking quarterbacks by tier, but with a different language to it with his tweets. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I did. And I wanted to share those with you and get your thoughts and also talk to Tyler about this as well, which was this. Here's his first tweet. And yes, this was from yesterday. As I look at it, it was yesterday around 7:47 in the morning, where he says, quarterbacks, just randomly, out of nowhere, quarterbacks you win games because of in the NFL right now. And he starts with a pretty good list. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Holmes. This is where it gets a little interesting with a few, but Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford. And even if you want to argue Matthew Stafford, it's tough to do so when he is just coming off of winning a Super Bowl in his first year with the Los Angeles Rams. Not all him, but he played a big part in it. So no argument really there, right, with this list. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford. Quarterbacks you win games because of in the NFL right now. Now, whenever we see something like that and we see the actual tweet being put together, so you read that first line, you automatically, as a Philadelphia fan, start to look for your player. No matter the sport, no matter the position, you're looking for your player. So naturally, you want to know, what is he getting to and where does Jalen Hurts pop up on his tweet? So you go to his second tweet, folks. With his second tweet, here's the caption. Quarterbacks you win games, quote, with in the NFL. Mac Jones, Tua, Tagovailoa, Baker Mayfield, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, Kyler Murray, and Jimmy G. Everyone else is win in spite of / unknown because of age. Your quarterback is not on that list. So as I looked at it, I'm like, all right, he's not wrong where he says everyone else, insert Jalen Hurts, in spite of or / unknown because of age. I think Jalen Hurts is in that category of unknown because of age. We don't know. We only have a small sample size. We didn't love everything that he did a season ago, but we saw some good things and we saw some bad things. We saw where he has helped to win games and we saw where he has helped to lose games. Did he win any? I don't think I can really sit there and say he was the reason why they won. He played a part in why they won. And then also, on the other side, I can say, yeah, he kind of lost that game. That Giants game, 3 interceptions, and it was much, much worse than what we saw. Yeah, he lost that game. That was on Jalen Hurts. And then everything just snowballed. Everything followed from there. That's where we are right now with Jalen Hurts. And I like Dan Orlovsky. I don't think he goes too far with a lot of things of his takes with football. Of course, quarterbacks in general, as a former quarterback himself, we've seen plenty of quarterbacks get into that job and we just don't like what they say. We don't like how they approach things. We don't like their opinion on what they're saying, how they're looking at it, and how wrong they might be. I might question a couple of names on these lists. Yes, you can win with, as he says, quote, win with Jimmy Garoppolo. But does Jimmy Garoppolo really do anything to help you win games? Well, maybe he doesn't turn the ball over or he doesn't make many mistakes if you look at his stats, if you look at the game in general and you see where he goes. But he doesn't do anything special, right? He doesn't lose the game for you. He might win you one, but he might not lose the game for you. He'll do everything to stay right where he is, to stay within that straight line of, I'm Jimmy G. And that's it. Now, that still might lead you to a Subway commercial or two or whatever else he might have endorsement-wise. Nice-looking guy, right? So he'll get those things. That's easy to sell. But I wasn't surprised to not see Jalen Hurts' name on either of these lists. Obviously, the first one, quarterbacks you win games because of in the NFL right now. He's not there yet in that category for him to be in the conversation of those groups of names, from Allen to Burrow, Stafford, Brady, Wilson, Rodgers, those names. He's not there quite yet. And with him not being there quite yet, I do agree that we don't know enough to be in the category of win with, quote, in the NFL. Mac Jones, he made the playoffs too as a rookie, like Jalen Hurts did as a second-year quarterback last season. But we saw something different. And I think the one thing that helps out Mac Jones is he has arguably the greatest head coach of all time. So he's going to be linked with him, and he did well in year number one to do so. The Tua part, he's probably reaching a little bit and saying you can win with, because we've also seen spots where you can lose games because of Tua as well. Now he has a new head coach. Things have changed there. Maybe that will change too for Tua, will we now? And especially now that he has an actual star wide receiver, right? He has that now. So with him having that now, by the way, Tyreek Hill, people don't know what I'm talking about. I agree with Baker Mayfield. You can win with him. You've seen it. Turning Browns around. You can win with Ryan Tannehill. You see the running game and the defense. You can win with him. You can win with Matt Ryan, as we know, MVP, former MVP in the NFL. Prescott, yes. Cousins, yes. Jameis Winston, still up in the air, especially now with the Saints and things changing there as well. Still not sure about that one, but okay. Kyler Murray, yes. Jimmy G already pointed that part out. So I wanted to put that out there and talk to you, because I'm okay with Jalen Hurts not being on one of these lists, because I don't think we've seen enough because of the age and the experience, not necessarily in spite of. A game or two will say, you know what, they won that game in spite of Jalen Hurts. But I saw more games from Jalen Hurts where it was more of, again, that was his fault. Or, well, he did some good things there to help them win that game. He kept them in it. He brought them back. He put them in position to win. They lost games. And I said, Jalen Hurts did a pretty good job in that Chargers game specifically. Yeah, Chargers game, losing 27-24. Jalen Hurts did a pretty good job. Now, he had a hand in it early, but he also brought them back, giving them an opportunity. So I put him in the unknown category, not just because of age, but because of experience, and I want to see more.
I think I'm actually willing to take it a step further, and I will put him in the win with category.
So you'll elevate him to that second tweet.
I would, and because of the fact that I've talked about this before, I expect him, with the weapons that have been put around him and the offensive line that's in place, and another year with the same head coach and offensive coordinator, and you know, a relatively easy schedule, not easy like it was last year, but still relatively easy. I expect him to be a mid-teens quarterback at the end of the season, meaning, you know, somewhere between 14 and 17, perhaps. And in that range, I expect you to be able to win games, not because of you, but don't lose games because of you either. So it's not a win in spite, and it's not a lose because. I find you in that realm of Ryan Tannehill. I find him in that realm of perhaps Kirk Cousins. And I don't mean statistically speaking. I mean, these guys are not going to flash brilliance and win you a game, but they're also, or they should in theory, not flash disgust and lose you a game. And that's why, to me, I think he's a win with. They have enough talent around him to be a win with.
Win with, he got to the playoffs. They changed the run. They changed the complexion of the offense. They used the run game. But that was also, Ty, in spite of him not doing enough to get them over. Now, he didn't have a lot of weapons. That's not my problem. That's their problem.
Sure.
They gave him the keys to be the quarterback to help elevate the level of play there from those players. He could only do so much. So with that, I am saying, maybe I just don't know yet. So I would not put him in the category of the win with yet. I can see it. I can't see him win games because of, but I can see him win games, quote, again, with, because of some of the intangibles that we've already seen, some of the things that we've already seen out there on the field, but I'm not ready to put him in that list yet. So we wanted to put that out there, ask you guys what you think. 610 6320975. Get your thoughts on that. 610-632-0975. As we also continue to discuss Mike Missinelli, a lot of people still on hold want to talk about Mike and share their thoughts with Mike announcing today his last day on the air. We are with you until 10 o'clock. Again, 610-632-0975. Your thoughts, Jalen Hurts, and you put up a tweet, right?
Yes, so we do have a poll up as well. Do you want it now? Or?
Yeah, now.
Okay. Yeah, so it's kind of exactly what you asked. So Orlovsky put these rankings out with quarterbacks in three tiers. One, quarterback you win because of. Two, quarterback you win with. Three, quarterback you win in spite of slash unknown because of their age. So we said, which tier do you place Jalen Hurts in? And so far, early returns, you have, you know, over 2 hours still to vote. 158 votes so far. 72% agree with me. They say win with.
Win with.
26%, almost 27% say win in spite of unknown. Just 7% say win because of.
Okay, still have time. Go ahead, 2 hours before we're done at 10 o'clock, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Diane to start things off here in this segment, 97.5 The Fanatic. Diane, how are you?
Hey, Javon, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. How are you? Thank you.
Okay, so for I definitely want to talk about Mike because I'm so depressed about that, but I do want to put my comments in about Jalen Hurts. And to me, now I'm a 63-year-old young retiree.
Yes,
my father had four girls and a boy, so I had to watch college football on Saturday, Sunday football, the NFL. So I'm a total football fan, and I have been my whole life. But, you know, if you look at last season, I think what a lot of people forget is that is like the perfect storm for everybody being new. New offensive coach, new defensive coach. Jalen Hurts was new. And if you remember, what was it, the first four or five games, all Sirianni did was throw the ball.
Yes, he did.
And
a lot.
The defense was not aggressive, right? And I would sit back and say, what the you-know-what, right? We did not play a good defensive game. We did not play a good offensive game. And I think, was it after five games that Sirianni finally had more of a balanced game? And that's when we started to win, okay? So if you think about Jalen Hurts, one-third of his year last year, I think he was put under duress and stress because all Sirianni did was make him throw the ball to receivers that couldn't catch.
Sure.
So my thought is, I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is going to be, you know, a great quarterback, but I think we need to give him a chance. The guy has a great work ethic. He's a hard worker. Sirianni, the defensive coach, now it's their second year. They're more settled in. I think this is the year that we're going to see the real Jalen Hurts.
But that's part of the reason why, again, I have him as unknown,
right,
which is not
right.
a knock, which is not
it's
a
not,
knock.
It's not a knock.
It's
no,
just
it's
simply,
not a knock.
I just want to see a little bit more. That's all.
Right.
I was willing to give him the season.
Right.
I would like
right.
to see him in one of these two categories by the end
right.
of the 22 season.
Right, and I agree with you. But, you know, I think this is going to be the year, which I think we all know. It's okay, what can Jalen Hurts do? Look at A.J. Brown and like, all the players they're bringing in. Finally, we have some more good players. I'm sorry, the offensive line and the receivers were horrible last year. And Jalen, I feel bad for him. I think that Sirianni did him a big disservice in the beginning of the season. So I think let's see what's going on. Let's give him a chance, and we'll see at the end of the year what
okay.
he can do.
You got it. And you want to share your thoughts on Mike, please?
Yeah, I do. I'll be honest with you. Like, I retired at 58, and during the pandemic, you know, I was housebound. I'm by myself with my two dogs, and I watched Mike for the first time. And I just love that show. Look forward to it so much. So it's like kind of my best friend, you know what I mean? And I actually started crying when he announced that he was going. Like, I don't know. I'm so upset. And I just wish Mike the best. And I want Mike to know that, oh my God, like, I love that show. Not only was it great for sports, but the banter between the three of them, and I would laugh, and became like friends, right?
Yes.
So I just wish the best for Mike. And I just want him to know that I will miss him so much.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Diane. Appreciate your thoughts on Mike and Jalen Hurts as well. Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Take care.
You got it. Take care, Diane. 610-632-0975. Yes. As far as Jalen Hurts goes, I'm just simply saying that I think it's okay to say the unknown. I think I can win with him, but I don't know as of yet. Especially when I'm like, if he doesn't get it done next season, I'm perfectly fine with them replacing him based on how it all happens. How did it happen? We'll let you know at the end of the season. So right now, it's an unknown at this point. I see it in there where I believe you can win with him, but right now I have him in the category of the unknown. 610-632-0975. David in Mississippi with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, Devon. How you doing, man?
Great, thank you.
It's good to be on with you and just be able to have a moment to be able to thank Mikey Miss and just for his long career. For many of us growing up in Philly, like myself, I'm 42 years old. Listening to Mikey Miss for more than half my life, it's kind of like the soundtrack of our life. You know, when you think about like Joe Cocker's, like, what would you do? You kind of think of the Wonder Years. Well, for us, listening to sports radio in Philly, that's the soundtrack, the rhythm to our life. And I've been moving all around the world. I've lived in the Philippines for years. I'm now down in Gulfport, Mississippi, surrounded by Saints country down here.
Oh.
And so being able to come on and listen to y'all, live stream y'all, and be able to hear Mikey Miss and all of you guys, man, it's just it's an era that it's going to be heartbreaking to see him move on. And, you know, there's a lot of awesome memories for many of us in Philly. You know, these are moments like listening to Mikey Miss. These are moments where we grew up, like with my dad, and the two of us would share moments in the car listening to sports radio, listening to Mikey Miss. And now my dad had passed away, and guys like Mikey Miss kind of help us hold those moments together. And so not having him on the radio and hearing his voice, you know, these are kind of like closing chapters. And so, you know, my heart's a little just broken today. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for just all of the banter, the craziness, the back and forth, the amazing callers that have gone head to head with Mikey Miss. And we're all going to miss him so much.
Thank you so much, David. Really appreciate the kind words. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. David from Mississippi joining us here as well. So, yeah, tough one, of course. 610-632-0975. Let's go to break. We'll come back and get Rob to start things off, talk a little Phil's, continuing to give his thoughts on Mike. Rob wants to talk about Mike, and we will also continue the Jalen Hurts conversation, introduce a little bit more, especially this thing about this grid that I saw, this thing about players in their respective cities and who's the best. And they had Philadelphia's. Curious to see where your thoughts are, Tyler's thoughts are, on who they had representing as the best athlete in Philadelphia. We'll get to that when we get back right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons. 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
8 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975 with you until, again, 10 on this Tuesday night. Good to be back from the weekend. Hope you all had a blast. Staying cool. Hot out there. Scorching. I'm not complaining just because I don't like the cold, so I'm not complaining. But, we know, we do recognize that there are some heat waves out there. So everybody stay cool, 610-632-0975. Continue to take your thoughts on Mike Missinelli announcing that he has retired for today. He's his last show was earlier today on this Tuesday, May 31st. So if you didn't have a chance to call in and express your thoughts and share your feelings to Mike, we were allowing everyone to share your opinion about Mike on our show since we followed him tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, so 610-632-0975. We'll talk about the Phillies, Joe Girardi. We have Rob coming up. and Christine, and we're also going to give another one of an athlete that a pretty interesting, what was it, like a, what do you call it? Like a picture collage of all the
I mean, it was a,
athletes from each
city. It was a put together. It wasn't a list. It was graphic.
Yeah.
I don't mean graphic in a bad way.
One
it was a graphic.
Or whoever, whatever their opinion, and we have thoughts. So wanted to share that with you. But first, let's go to Rob, as promised, here to start off the 8 o'clock hour on 97.5. Rob.
Hey, Devon. How you doing, gentlemen? The airway, Devon.
Ah, man, I'm good. Thank you, Rob, as always.
Listen, Devon, I want to start off with Mike and a compliment for you as well. I disagree with Mike a lot, but the thing is, everything in life happens for a reason. So with that being said, whatever his future holds, hopefully that applies and he goes on to something, you know, better or something else that he enjoys. But everything in life happens for a reason. So, you know, I just wish him the best for that. But as far as you go, Devon, listen, I hope he's ever the boss of these airways and listening to me. Give my man Devon that shot in that time slot. Give my man Devon, you know, another bump up, because I love hearing Devon. And the biggest compliment I think a caller gave you a couple calls ago was the respect, Devon. Like, as long as somebody doesn't come on obnoxious, yelling and screaming at you, you're going to give them their time, Devon.
Always.
Whether you agree with them or not.
Always.
And listen, right? When I say to you, gentlemen, the airways, a lot of people think of gentle as a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's just, you know, how you treat your fellow Philadelphia, you know, it's just respect. You give respect and you get respect back. So, you know, I mean, that's great, Devon. I hope that he's ever the boss.
It's very kind of you. Thank you.
Give my man Devon his due. But the thing with the Phillies, I want to make it quick, because I always like to toss on like an old athlete. I found a post for a guy back in the day. The Phillies, Devon, how many days till training camp? That's my thing with the Phillies. How many days till training camp and preseason football? Because they're not going to turn it around. They're going to be two games below, two games over all year.
Well, I think the tweet that we've seen today about football is 100 days away from the start of the NFL.
See, Devon, you always got the info. You answered my question 100 days ago. I'm going to keep track of my calendar now.
There you go.
Now, Devon, I'm going to bust that real fast. You must talk about the poster you found. Two of my guys growing up, okay? I was always a Kobe guy, but you know, a lot of guys like Kobe. Randall, I had the Ultimate Weapon Sports Illustrated issue, if you remember that with Randall Cunningham.
Yeah.
He was my guy.
Was that the one where they had, like, the streaking behind him?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Like, that. Like I was, you know, I'm 48 now, but he was, you know, when I was a teenager, I saw him, and I was just like, wow. Today's game, Devon, today's game with the way they throw the ball and the athleticism from the quarterback, he would, you know. You think Lamar Jackson's good? He ain't seen nothing yet. You see my boy Randall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they named him the ultimate weapon for a reason.
For a reason. I'm going to give you a basketball guy real fast, Devon. Injuries cut him short a little bit later on in his career. But when he started out with Shaq in Orlando, Penny Hardaway, Devon.
That was my guy, Rob.
That's your guy. That was my guy.
That was my guy.
Devon, he had a little dog. Like, he'd go down, I saw him throw it down. Was he 6'7"?
He was 6'6", 6'7", point guard, and he could jump. Before the injury, he could get up.
He could get up. And he was that, I don't know. I always tell my nephew, Devon, he's a junior at Winder. I always tell him, I've seen the best. I mean, there's so many guys you could go through. Dominique. You know, I mean, just so many guys that were just.
Two players that I talk about, if it weren't for injury, Rob, that, of course, they would be Hall of Famers. Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill. From that era, those two. Rob, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Devon, right,
as
man?
Always, thank you again for the kind words. Those two right there, Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill, man, I was a big Penny.
Well, those are like two of the ultimate what ifs, right?
Yes, you've got like. Ultimate. Especially for basketball. Now, we know we can go to
that's
other
what
sports.
I mean. You go to Bo Jackson and things like that. Yes. But yeah, the NBA related, those two are two of the biggest what ifs because of injury.
Probably the two. They're probably the top two.
Injury related. Yes.
And they still played, but they weren't the same because of the injury. And the only reason we really bring it up is because we saw the greatness. We saw the Hall of Fame level play that would follow them once they were done. Even when we talk about Grant Hill right now and say he's a Hall of Famer, even though he didn't play
that
level, but because of his collegiate career, the length of time that he eventually played, Olympian, all that stuff, then you say, okay, he's a Hall of Famer. But that's how good he was.
Yeah.
You're trying to find a way to get him in and give him those accolades because that's how good he was.
Yeah. So I was watching something today. I don't mean to derail you. I apologize if it does.
No.
I was watching something today And it was, you know, along the lines of how teams were affected and how they won or didn't win the NBA Finals. I didn't realize, I knew that it was a while. I didn't realize that Arvydas Sabonis didn't come over for like years.
Yeah, so he was in his 30s.
It was a conversation about, he was drafted by Portland, correct?
Yes.
So it was a conversation about how Portland didn't win the title the year that they went into the finals. And I didn't realize that it was such a long gap between him being drafted and him coming over. And I also didn't realize how good he was when he was young. So it's all these, you know, you have all these question marks about what ifs, not injury related, but that's a huge one, is what if he was able to come over, you know, immediately or quickly thereafter.
They used to say like our Vetus, your Vetus, everybody's Vetus because he was just a nice guy. He was a really good dude. And obviously Sabonis' son.
Sure.
Now Domantas is in the NBA playing for the Sacramento Kings.
But the what ifs are always fun to play.
Yeah, those there are plenty of them. But Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway, boy, whew, those two, man, those were it. Those were it. Let's go back to the phones. Christine in Deptford with us here tonight. How are you, Christine?
Hey, Devon. I wish it was a better day, but thank you so much for giving listeners the opportunity to share how we feel about Mike, as well as, you know, share how we feel about you, too. For me, I was first introduced to 97.5 by listening to Mike. I used to sit in the office. I couldn't wait to get in my car at 5 o'clock to hear what he had to say, especially when we performed badly for the Eagles or the Sixers. I couldn't wait to hear what Mike had to say about their performance. And that also let me listen in to you. And so I would go to the Sixers game and sit in my car afterwards, letting all the traffic fly out and just listen to what you had to say for your commentary. And Mike's show just has been so much for me, especially just these last few years, watching it on TV, having to work from home through the pandemic. And aside from the sports, the conversation that y'all bring, I have so much respect and love for y'all on so many levels, and I'm so grateful for the conversation you bring, the outlet you bring to all of us. It means so much, and I just want to say thank you, Mike, for sharing and being open and being the kind of person that you are and always giving somebody else a chance. And to that point for the Phillies, I wanted to bring up Joe Girardi.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes me back to when we had Gabe Kapler here. And it's like, we already went through the situation of what are the numbers saying, and it didn't work out well for us. So if somebody else is telling Joe Girardi what to do, why is he here? What are we doing?
Yeah, I know, Christine. And that's the puzzling thing about it, because the talent they've upgraded there with Schwarber and Castellanos in the offseason, and then you felt like the pitching staff would be good enough. Now, injuries happen, things of that nature take place, but we still look at some of the things that happen in the game, and we question. We always question. Win or lose, we always question on certain things. But I think for a majority of people, it's just watching them over the last couple of seasons and seeing what he is doing, what they have been doing under his leadership, and they are still basically in the same spot where we felt like they should have been so much further ahead. And to your point, what is he still doing here? Right now, Tyler said it best to Christine, the optics of it, playing the Giants, playing Gabe Kapler. It would be a tough sell to look at that if they did get rid of him with the other guy in the other dugout.
Exactly.
So you kind of have to hang on to him, but for how long?
For how long? If you don't make the playoffs, I mean, that's the answer right there.
Yeah, but will he make it? That's the question. Christine, thank you so much for the kind words. And thank you for sharing your thoughts on the Phillies and Joe Girardi as well. And thanks for listening as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
By the way,
yeah.
We say the optics, and it is a bad look. But I don't think the two have to be related.
No.
Meaning that, like,
if he's bad, he's bad, and
right,
he has to go.
They were both bad. And I've gained a lot of respect for Gabe Kapler. After his Phillies time, you know, especially, you know, when he's taken over the Giants, what he's done on the field, what he's, you know, done off the field too, for social justice and things like that. But one of the things that he said recently that I give him a lot of respect for, he was asked, do you think that you were, I'm paraphrasing here, but do you think you were unfairly given an unfair shake with the Phillies? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, not really. You win a lot of games, you stay around, We didn't do a lot of winning. And I give him a lot of respect for that.
I'm glad he handled it that way, because that's the way it goes. That's what you want to hear, especially from an athlete or a manager or a coach from this area. You absolutely want to hear that being said, and that will help him out in the long run in the event that he comes back with the Giants for years to come or whatever team he's managing at the time. And that's exactly, that will carry, maybe carry and help him out locally with something like that. Jasper on Twitter says, actually, Sabonis' best years were in Europe. As good as he was more or less a shell of the player he was by the time he actually joined the Blazers due to injuries and wear and tear. 100% right. 100% right, Jasper. I hadn't seen him in Europe. I had only heard about him. And when he got over here to start to play with the Portland Trail Blazers, I was like, yo, this big man doing this stuff? Wow. Man. Wow. This guy's good. And he was. He was really, really good. Really good. 610-632-0975. Did you see the end of the Celtics Heat game on Sunday?
Yep.
Heat down 2. Jimmy Butler bringing the ball up. 18 seconds left in the fourth quarter. They came back down big. Jimmy Butler goes for the win at home. And not even the win, because it's 18 seconds to go. And he probably could have gotten by Al Horford with a hesitation, since he was closing out so hard on the three-pointer that he eventually shot. 18 seconds to go. Pull up 3. I thought it was questionable in the moment. He missed it. That's one of those, oh no. Even if he makes it, you say, still a bad shot. I respect the idea and the shot selection of what he was trying to do. Bad shot.
Was it a bad shot, or was it a bad shot because of how much time was left in the
game? Bad shot because you just simply wanted to tie the game up.
Yes.
I respect what he was thinking. I'm going for the kill shot here. 18 seconds left. If I miss it, maybe we get the offensive rebound. Something like
that. You've got an opportunity to maybe have another possession, too.
If you miss, you got a foul.
Correct.
Now you're making 4 free throws.
Maybe.
Two points. 4 points is where you are.
Could be 3. Could see a missed free throw.
Did you have a problem with the shot? You didn't?
Not particularly.
I thought it was a bad shot. I get it.
Let me rephrase
that. Bad shot.
I don't think it's a great shot from Jimmy Butler, because he's not a particularly strong three-point shooter.
And look, he has made his fair share during the duration of the playoffs.
Correct.
That was a momentum shot.
That regard, I didn't necessarily have an issue with it, because he is and has been for the entirety of their playoff run the best player. I don't just think on their team. But I think he's been the best player on the floor.
Best player take bad shots.
Correct.
Doesn't mean you absolve him of it.
But would you have rather the basketball swung around and perhaps found an open Strus or Adebayo?
It's more of, I'm driving, I'm going to show that I'm pulling up. I'm surprising everybody. Al Horford closes out late.
Yeah, so he had open space.
Go right by him.
He had airspace to shoot.
Go by him, or Al Horford reacts, grabs, foul. You go to the free throw line, make your free throws, and then you play for overtime.
Perhaps,
maybe,
right?
Maybe he felt like they didn't have enough legs for overtime. I don't know. But 18 seconds to go, when you talk about optics, it's like, yo, tie the game up. And that's not your shot. I get it. I respect it because of everything that you said about him. And he's thinking the game. He's a thinker. That's a bad shot. They got to live with that for the entire summer. Bad shot. Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris in Overbrook with us here. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Devon, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing okay.
All right, good, man. I just wanted to call up and, you know what I mean, thank Mike for being like a really good sparring partner. I would never really like call him up unless I had to disagree with him, because I wanted to come up there and spar with him, like sport-wise, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think he knew who I was, you know? And it might probably, I think there was like a mutual respect there, you know? Because I try to bring up the good points, and we both get our point across. And sometimes I'll be winning, and he would cut me off, and I'm not even going to hate on him because of that, you know what I mean? No, I'm just playing, but I just want to thank him for his services, and that's something I really look forward to, and you as well.
No, and look, thank you, Chris. Yeah, he, you know, disagreeing is part of it, right? And whether you're sitting at home with a sibling, with a significant other, with your parents, and you're talking about sports, disagreeing, that's a common thing. And it doesn't change, obviously, when you do sports talk radio. There's a lot of disagreements when there are a lot of voices, a lot of personalities, and a lot of opinions out there. You're going to disagree from time to time, or a lot. But at the end, it's all about, hey, the respect there. And I appreciate what you're saying about Mike, Chris. Thanks so much, man. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Don next with us on 97.5. Hey, Don.
Yo, what's up? Hold on one second. Let me get you off Bluetooth.
No problem, Don. I understand. You know, driving.
Can you hear me?
I got you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we're good. All right, so first off, Devon, before I go any further, I just want to say I really enjoy hearing you.
Thank you.
Your basketball knowledge is awesome, and I've learned a lot from listening to you. So awesome. But I'm just blown away about Mike, man. I was watching. I was getting ready for work, watching the show. You know, while I was getting ready, and then all of a sudden, a buddy calls me up like around 4:30, saying Mikey's gone. I mean, it's crazy. We lost, Ray retired, Jim Gardner, and now we're losing Mike. I mean, we're losing some amazing people in this town. But one of the coolest things about Mike was that he wasn't afraid to handle any subject out there, especially over the last 2 years. You know, with everything that happened in 2020 and 2021, but he was never afraid to tackle a subject that might rub somebody the wrong way.
Never.
Because it needed to be tackled.
Yep.
And I know he took a lot of heat for it, but, I mean, it just shows the type of man he is. And it's funny, I called in about a year ago. My mom is not a sports fan at all. She's like your typical mother. And she started getting into the Eagles and the Sixers, especially with Ben Simmons debacle. And she would ask me questions about it, like, what's going on? What's this? What's that? And one of the things I said is, you got to start listening to Mike Costello. And the crazy thing, she started listening to him. And she loved him. Loved him. And she would call me up at night after work, after shows, and just ask me questions about, you know, things that Mike said and whatnot. He's not a sportscaster. He's not just a radio. Yeah. I've been listening to Mike since he was with Steve Fedrick.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep.
And it just, it sucks, man. It's just sad to see one of the greats go. And so abruptly. And yeah. I wish I would have had time today to call into the show and actually talk to him and thank him.
But that's why, Don, we knew it was a short amount of time, so we wanted to make sure we extended that opportunity further for people listening to us tonight to say their piece and say their goodbyes to Mike.
Yeah, man. And one other thing. He's not your Venus. He's not my Venus.
He's our Venus. Our Venus.
And from what I understand, people said he was the best passing center at that point of all time. Now, I don't know. I mean, I heard that, but I would ask you to see what your opinion was.
Yeah, you know what? They say that, and I went with it. Now, Nikola Jokic is making a push. Especially with us being able to see him on a daily basis, Don. Thanks so much, man. And again, appreciate the kind words from Mike and myself. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Nikola Jokic right now is a passer. Boy, that guy, man, leading the break the way that he does.
His point guard ability.
I didn't see Arvidas early to know that if he could lead the break and all that stuff like Nikola Jokic does right now. But my goodness, him right now, Jokic, whew. Tough to be able to do what he does. So is he the best all-time passing center? I'm going to say yes, Arvidas Sabonis, until someone with more knowledge of seeing him in Europe and seeing Jokic says otherwise, because that's how he was always taught.
Well, you know who we got to contact for that.
I don't know that he saw him.
I don't want to.
I don't know
but
that
I think
he,
we have to.
I don't know that he saw him.
Okay.
I don't know that he saw Arvidas.
Gotcha.
Like
all right.
That. Yes. Yes. But I understand where you're going. I understand where you're going. All right. 610-632-0975. Coach in Reading, I can't wait to hear Coach about Jimmy Butler and the shot with 18 seconds to go to win the game, or at least to put them up one with 18 seconds. It probably would have been about 16 and some change, 16.8 seconds left because of the trajectory of the ball in the air, through the net, timeout, Boston, all of that. But he took the shot at 18, down two in the fourth. They had just come back to get that close. We'll get Coach's thoughts from Reading. We've talked to Coach before, so you know I can't hear, wait to hear Coach. We'll get to Nate in Lehigh Valley about Mike Miss. We'll take all your calls, 610-632-0975. 9:45, The Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. Tonight, we go until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, 830 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Giving everybody an opportunity to say goodbye to Mike Missinelli, who said goodbye to you today at 4:15 and stayed the entire show, rest of the show, said his goodbyes, had a chance to speak to everyone that called that he could get on the air, squeeze in. So we wanted to, again, extend the opportunity for you to continue to say goodbye and might have Mike hear it. So we've been doing that, allowing you to do so. If you still want to say something about Mike, 610-632-0975. I did ask the question about Jimmy Butler. Good shot, bad shot. 18 seconds to go, fourth quarter. Down big all game. They fight back, Miami does, to the Celtics. On their home floor, Miami's floor, they got down. They dug themselves a big hole early. I didn't understand that. But I just, you know, I look at this one and I'm like, okay, that was a bad shot in the moment. I'm like, I couldn't believe he took it. So we got to go to the coach. Got to go to Reading, my friend. Coach, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm doing really good. Hey, I pulled over. I think I spent like $20 a gas idling. You go to a TV timeout when I'm on deck.
That's what Boston would have done if he made that shot.
I know. You know, hey, how much time was on the shot clock when he took?
I think the shot clock it was done. I think it was just game clock.
There still was game clock, though. Okay.
18 seconds on the game clock.
As a coach, I'm thinking, you know what, if he makes it, because, you know, I'm the biggest Jimmy Butler fan in town, Devon. I love that guy. You know why I like him so much?
Yeah.
Because he's really, really good, Devon.
Yes, he is. You know what?
Me, you, and that guy that answered the phone.
Tyler Zuli.
Embiid, and we at least get to the Eastern Finals. Us five.
Oh, I'm with you. I like Jimmy Butler. I still stand up for Jimmy Butler, even though I think he does crazy things. I wish he was on this team. Should have never left. But my point was, with 18 seconds to go, I get it. Just don't
That's
do
a
it.
Bad shot.
It's a bad
shot.
You know
what he proved, Devon? He ain't Michael Jordan. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Michael knocked that down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not bad to be compared to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
or even Curry makes that shot, but he probably should have taken it in and dunked it, or at least take his patented 10-footer that he makes every time.
That's what I'm saying. I would have preferred him to do that because it's a better percentage shot for him for what he does. That's not his shot, and I'm not saying that I would have been okay with Tyler Hero doing it because he's a 3-point shooter, or Duncan Robinson for doing that because he's three, or even Jason Tatum. I'm just saying that the better shot for that moment, time, and situation. Take the short two, even though there are no short two.
Yeah.
Take the two and try to go down on the other end defensively and try to force that overtime or get them into a quick shot they miss. You still have time to get a shot off on the other end and win the game then. I just thought that was a bad shot.
You know what? You know what, Jimmy, though? He makes that three. He comes down the other end, picks off a pass, gets fouled.
I don't disagree.
Park the bus. Oh, man.
I don't disagree.
I was riding the Jimmy Butler ticket. you know, ever since they beat the Sixers, because I just love the player.
Yeah.
I just love the player.
Yeah.
Hey, good talking to you.
You have too, fun. Coach. Okay. Thanks, man. I'll refund you that $20 in gas, man. I know you have to have the air on. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Okay.
You got Bye. It. Yeah, man. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is, as much as I like the player, time and situation said, Jimmy Butler, ball fake, like, you know, stutter step or hesitation, Al Horford closing out, then go. That's all I was saying. If he would have made it, I would have been like, man, that's still a bad shot, but boy, the guts on him. I'm still saying the guts on him. Just a bad shot. Just a bad shot. 18 seconds ago on the game clock. Tie the game up. Tie the game up. And then look, Kyle was struggling. Kyle Lowry was struggling. His leg clearly bothered him. He wasn't himself. He wasn't 100%. Some of the others weren't making shots, period. So I get it. Man, I got to win this game. We can't go into overtime. I got to win this game. But you still have 16 seconds. Now, look, I know you can muster up whatever you can muster up for 16 seconds to play defense on the other end, try not to foul, force a missed shot, rebound, crowd going crazy, go to the other end, knock down your free throws. Now it's a three-point game with less than however many seconds left on the clock, on the game clock. But, man, 18 seconds, whew. And he'll take it, as he's shown. He'll take it. The guts on that guy. Whew. Man. Nate in Lehigh Valley next wants to talk about Mike Missinelli. Nate.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. So, yeah, today I got in the car right when you came on and was saying about how he's done. I was like, I couldn't believe it. But I want to thank you for everything you've done, because during the COVID and 2020, 2021, with all the craziness going on in Philly, both of you made yourselves available to have the conversation, to talk about it.
Yes.
It was like there was nowhere for us to talk, and it was a great outlet. And I really appreciated that. And that's what Mike's always been able to do. He's always had the conversations, the tough conversations. Even though it's a sports radio show, he's had those conversations. And that's what's made this channel so great. You know,
thank you.
All you people, you know, you're like kind of like part of the family.
No, that's why we always say it. Friends and family here. That's it. It's what we do.
So I want to tell a quick story about how I got introduced to the station. It was the day Mike had his Google Me outburst on the show. And
I was here that day too.
I was so hooked after that. He's just going off, Google me. And it was like, yeah, you guys win. You guys are forever epic. Cause I mean, no one does that, you know? And it's like, he doesn't let them just,
I'm trying to think.
Here.
I think that was Wilbon.
Was that?
I think that was Mike Wilbon, ESPN, PTI, and he was bashing Philadelphia. So at the time, the producer, a good friend of, you know, he got him on the show. Mike wanted to talk to him. They get on the air. He agreed to talk to him. He comes on the air, and he's saying these things, and Mike is coming back at him. And then Wilbon is like, well, you know, who are you, blah, 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 all this stuff. And Mike's like, Google me. And he was fired up. And I didn't know Mike well at that point. So when it was commercial break, we're passing each other in the hall. I'm like, you cool? He's like, man, I live for this. I was rolling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that day vividly.
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, and, yeah.
It was Skip Bayless.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was Skip, not Wilbon. Yeah, it was Skip. Case. But he got Wilbon, too, but it was Skip.
Oh, man. So, yeah, thank you for this, and I appreciate it. And good luck to Mike. Hope he does well at his retirement.
Thank you.
You guys have a great night.
You too, Nate. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Ty, you said it was Skip Bayless, not Wilbon. I thought it was the reverse of when he had to say that. But it was hilarious. So I remember what he said and what we said in the hall. I just had the two people, the two guests mixed up. But those are the two that always stand out for everyone when he had to go back and stand up for Philadelphia. Like he oftentimes did.
Sure.
Right. He agreed with a lot of callers.
On national TV.
A lot of fans, but he would go on national TV and say, you guys don't know what you're talking about. How about you come visit first, put your feet in the ground, and understand what's going on here before you have anything to say. That was funny, though. that's how that whole thing went. Where he was, they disagreed, and neither, the guy was like, "Who are you, Skip Bayless? Google me." Okay. Oh man, that was funny, hysterical, rolling that day. And I'm honest with you. I said to Mike, I was like, "Hey, Mike, you okay? You good? I live for this." Got it.
Fair enough. All right.
Got it.
Good to know.
Oh man, fantastic stuff. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Robin Overbrook with us here, our friend of the show, Robbie.
What's up, D? How you feel?
Good, man. What's happening?
Tough day for the family, man. Tough day.
You know what, man? Number one, you're right. It was tough, but it was tough. It was even tough just having to follow it. It's like,
right.
We see so many things on television. I'll just go, all right, Aunt Viv. How do you follow the right Aunt Viv, right?
Right.
It's like, now, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, I'm following Mike 2-6. I'm saying I'm following Mike the day he says this, and I'm like, how am I supposed to do this?
Right. Well, I'll tell you right now, man, you pulled it off, man. Class act. I don't know.
Thank you.
Who idea it was. You know, I know what radio, you don't have a lot of control sometimes, or the control you want, but. You know, what you're doing right now is a class act, man. And I know everybody in the area appreciates it.
Well, I just put you behind the scenes. The bosses didn't tell me I had to do a thing.
Good. I didn't think so.
Yep. They let me just do what I needed to do. That's how they always operate. And I just felt this was the right thing to do.
Well, I'm glad they did, man. And you made the right call. And you're doing your thing. But, you know, as far as Mike, man, you know, I disagree with a lot of things he said over the years, but I also agree. I just admired and respected his passion for his point of view and also for the area in general. And the work that he's done, you know, in the community, behind the scenes, and things that we do see. So I do respect that, and I listen to him every day, and he will be missed.
He absolutely will, and it's... You know, we just see how things go forward, and you know, everybody will adjust to whatever happens. But right now,
and the radio station is a good hand.
Yeah, but thank you. And right now, you just respect who he is, who he was, with everything that he did, and a lot of people have already called Rob. A lot of people have tweeted in, and just the influence that he had on them as to why they either got into sports radio in general or got into sports radio. Right. For their profession as well.
Yeah. And he turned me on to sports radio, man. I was listening to him and Steve, man. And that's how I got started with sports radio, with him and Steve, man. So I go way back with him, man. And I appreciate it, man. Like I said, the radio station is in good hands with you guys, man. And I respect your knowledge with all the sports, man. Basketball, football, all of it, man. Not just basketball,
Thank
man.
Thank you.
I respect your knowledge with all the sports, man.
Thank you, man. Now, I got to ask you, as a person I know who watches, even though the Sixers are done, did you see the shot, Jimmy
horrible,
Butler?
Horrible, man.
Yeah,
horrible,
man. Yeah.
My oldest son is a local high school coach, and we talked about it last night. And, he's a young guy. He's 27, so he thinks differently. He said he didn't mind the shot. And I was like, maybe I'm just too old school. I'm always taught to extend the game, you know, maximize your opportunities, you know, get a good shot. They're tired of it. It's too much time left to take that shot. You're talking about a few seconds left. It's too much time left. You got to extend the game. You got to make Al Horford commit to you and see what Al Horford's going to do and get a bucket that way. The chances of you getting a two-point shot, something close to the basket, or Al Horford fouling you or something like that is greater than you shooting a three-pointer in transition.
Yep. Yeah, and again, I know the momentum and the feel and the energy. The crowd is coming on you.
Right,
you see it. This is what you always dream about.
Right.
I'm going to send us to the NBA Finals.
Right. Now, I will say this. If it was Steph.
That's different.
It's different. But Jimmy Butler, career 33% shooter. Yeah, I wasn't.
Even Klay Thompson. That's different.
Yeah.
You know, but not you. Not you.
Nah, man. Not you, Jimmy. But nah, I respect the game, Jimmy, but nah, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But that's how I feel about the situation, man.
Listen, thanks, man.
Nice job, man.
Appreciate it for the kind words, Rob. Always great talking to you, man. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, man.
I'll holler at you later in the week, man.
You got it. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. Oh, man. See, I got two so far.
He said something there that's interesting.
Yeah. But he also said one thing that was interesting. Bad shot.
Well, that's also fair. I mean, he's just agreeing with you at that point. He said something there that's interesting that caught my attention. He mentioned his nephew? Or his son.
His son.
27 years old. He's less than 12 months younger than me.
Yeah.
I'm 28. He and I are the same generation, same age group, probably watch basketball a similar way. Said it wasn't a bad shot. I wonder if it's just a thought process of maybe somebody my age thinking about quick transition or keeping as much time on the clock as possible compared to high efficiency shot creation, if that makes any sense.
No, Ty, you make sense with what you're saying. And I said it. I get why he did it. I'm saying for him, 32% three-point shooter.
So you mean
him
particularly?
While, yes, you've been making shots, that's not your shot, and you can probably go by him. And if you go by him, someone's going to commit. When they commit,
kick it out.
No, drop it right off.
Gotcha.
To Bam Adebayo for a dunk or layup. Or if you do play through the contact and go up strong, Ty, you first of all, you take about 4 seconds off.
Right.
You get fouled. He is strong where he plays through the contact. Finish it. Tie ball game. Put them up one with the free throw. Still, you're still doing the same thing.
So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, a couple of players. If they were in this situation, would you be fine with them taking the three?
Okay.
Not the same type of player as Jimmy Butler, but I'm just going to ask you these players.
Okay.
Giannis.
No.
Okay. Luka.
Yes.
Klay Thompson.
Yes.
How about Jason Tatum?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just trying to think some of the teams
I'm
that were available.
Saying to him, even though I'm still saying to him, don't do that.
Okay.
Drive.
So it really is more about Jimmy Butler than it is about the shot selection.
It's more about the shot, but it's also, it's everything that goes with it. Like we always say, how did it happen?
Yeah.
This is how it happened. Who had the ball in his hands? First of all, it's a bad shot because he went for the win, and it wasn't a 2.6 seconds as he walked into that three. Walking into a three, a lot of guys can make a walk in. He's not a catch-and-shoot three-pointer. He's not an off-the-dribble three-point shooter. He's not a walk-into-a three-point shooter. He just gets hot three-point shooter when he does take them. That's
correct.
Not what he does.
Because
he barely shoots them when he takes them. He's kind of like a set. He doesn't really get lit. The form, and I'm not talking about the form. I'm talking about everything that goes with it. His feet, all of it, all the movement, all that stuff. It's like, yo, you just can't do that as a star player. I get it because you're trying to give them the win in that moment. You're trying to say, okay, we're going to go down the other end, play defense. They're going to call timeout. We can set our defense. We can make our substitutions if they had timeouts left, Boston, and do what they need to do. The best thing there was to tie it up. Even if he made it, I'm telling you, I would have said, as a bad shot, well, he got away with one.
I know that this is an unfair...
That's what I would have said.
This is an unfair comparison comparing the two sports because they're not equitable in the conversation of what I'm about to say, but it's the best way that I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in the NFL playoffs, and again, it's not a totally fair comparison, but I'm going to make it anyway. When you're in the NFL playoffs, and let's say you are down 7, and you've got the football in your hands,
mm-hmm.
I am a big proponent of scoring efficiently, not going crazy, but efficiently, and not being the team that tries to bleed clock. And not give the opponent an opportunity to get the football. Or let's even say 4. Let's say it's 4. You got to score a touchdown, but it's 4. And I'm a big believer in scoring at an efficient rate, but also not being the team that's like afraid to score too quickly. I would rather, I could hang my hat upon a loss where my offense left the field with a win than a loss where my offense sputtered and ran out of time. Mm-hmm. I take the same kind of approach to the NBA. And now it's not fully the same, but it's fairly the same. I would rather have an opportunity for him to hit that three, walk back on defensive transition, or walk back on the defensive set, get set, and Miami scores, and they win the game by one. Mm-hmm. Then maybe like kind of puttering around, hold for the last shot possible, get to the rim, miss, and you lose. Now, I'm not saying he would have missed on a layup or anything like that, but that's kind of my thought process. That's why I'm more okay with the shot selection than you
are. So I'm seeing the video again. Ty, he had whatever room he wants.
Oh, yeah, he had ample room. I know.
And you guys see this view. I'll send it to you. But I'm going to read the tweet from Sean Bernard here. And he says, if you are the Heat, you have to live with that Jimmy Butler three-pointer every time. Butler has earned his right to take whatever shot he wants throughout the playoffs, and the jumper had been falling. He's the baddest man on the planet if he hits that. Sean, I disagree. I disagree. Yes, he would have been the baddest man on the planet, and he did walk into it. He could have drove by. Al Horford was backing. He was backpedaling, Ty, because he felt like he was going to drive. So I get Jimmy saying, oh, he's backpedaling. I'm pulling up.
That's airspace.
Again, I said, right. I get it. Hesitation, my man. Whoop. Coming. Go right by him. He's either going to foul you to stop it, make you make two free throws, or give up the two. You got to come back and score on the other end or go to overtime. I'm going to see this because it's a fantastic view. Look. Great comeback from them. They got themselves in the hole. He has been fantastic all playoffs. All playoffs. All playoffs. Can't take that shot. Can't take that shot. Just can't do it. Cannot do it. All right. Here are the phone numbers. And when we come back, we'll get into this player, best player for each city that we saw this thing put together, best players in each city, and who they have represented in Philadelphia of all sports, best player in the city, who they have representing all sports, and why I disagree with the choice. And I want to get your thoughts, get Tyler's thoughts as well. Tyler at 9:45, we'll have the leftovers, 610-632-0975. Before we go to break, I'm seeing it again from another angle. And when he was doing it, I'm like, oh, you know, straight up drama. So it hit the rim at 16 seconds, Ty. That being said, you see it again. You see the entire floor. You see what he could have done. What do you make of it?
The angle that you sent me and the angle, so that's why I hesitated because I was finishing watching the video when you sent me.
The TV angle.
Yeah, the angle that was sent.
Not the TV angle.
No. The one
from behind the break.
The one you sent me from behind the break with Lowry trailing. I understand. And I understood with the TV angle, but I understand even more with that one why you would be against this shot selection. I think the biggest.
He had him. He had Al Horford backpedaling. He had him at his mercy, is what I'm saying. And again, kill shot. He had him at his mercy. Bad choice of words. I take that back. I'm sorry. I apologize. He had him at his... No, it's cool. He had him where he wanted him. He's backpedaling. He has a decision to make. I get it. Pull up. Tatum is tight on Max Strus. He's not moving off of him because that's the three-point... If he shoots a three off of a pass, I'm cool with that. With that, you could do whatever you wanted.
Are we not positive, though, looking at that angle, that if he does get by Al Horford, the help defense from Jaylen Brown doesn't come?
Yeah, but Victor Oladipo is coming full steam now if you dump it off to him.
Well, yeah, you're going to pick your poison at that point.
But that's what I said already. If you do that and I drive and your man commits now, he's going to make the right play. Number one, the right play of dumping it off if need be. But he could also, because we know he can tie, play through the contact, force the officials to blow the whistle, and still attempt a shot to tie it up go to the foul line, take that lead by one. That's all I'm saying. And then I'll send you another view of the TV view so you can see both. And we'll talk about it more when we come back because, man, I was watching that and I'm like, yo, he's taking this. He better make it. We'll get back 9 o'clock hour right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, check this out, 901-975, The Fanatic, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. Later in the hour at 945, Leftovers with Tyler Zuli on this Tuesday night. Watching a video during the break, NBA on ESPN on Instagram, right? And they're showing Jimmy Butler had 24 at the half where Jason Tatum had 13. Butler had 18 in the second quarter. So they show this playing at 1:30 on the clock, where remember, Boston was up big, Miami making a push. He forces the timeout by doing what? Ty, other end of the floor, same type of play. He comes down right side of the floor, defense backing up. He walks into a three. Same exact play. Other end of the floor. Again, I get why he did it. Bad shot. Bad shot. I'll send you this one too, just so you can have this one as well, because you can see it's the same thing on the other end of the floor in the first half. But just my opinion, just my thoughts. Tyler and I are talking about that. I brought that up just in passing, but we've been talking about it now for like 25 minutes because people want to share their thoughts. Jasper's like, yeah, on Twitter, Jay Gridlock. Bad shot. Bad shot. Can't do it. Not doing that one. Not doing that one. Oh, man. All right. Let's go to the phones and we'll get into the graphic that we saw and talk about that a little bit as well. Sean in South Philly. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm good, man. Got off of work. I'm a FedEx driver.
Oh, nice, man. Now you get to relax for the rest of the night. It was hot out there today, Sean.
Been out in the heat.
Hot.
Real hot. I got a question about Jimmy Butler's shot. You think he took it because he didn't want to go to overtime? He played every minute of the game.
Yeah, so I mentioned that, and, you know, understandably so. And you say, okay, if I get these guys to the finals, we get a couple of days off. We start on Thursday. We'll be, you know, we'll have our legs underneath us. We'll be ready to go for Golden State. But you're not there. And right. To your point, he didn't have the legs because he played so many minutes in that game. That's a lot to ask for a player who is not a great three-point shooter, even though he, had been making them. That's just not who he is. So it was tough. That's a tough ask from him to do that. And he went out 35 points. He had 9 boards. I get all that. But to your point, he played, Tyler, 48 minutes the entire game. He probably had no legs to take that shot.
Yeah, I just think he didn't want to go to overtime because nobody else was doing that. So he said, take it or leave it.
Right. Yeah, again, I get it. But it's still a bad shot.
Yeah, you're right. It was a bad shot. And they had a timeout left, too. So he could have pulled it back out, called timeout. He just rushed the shot. It was a bad shot.
Yeah.
I just thought he didn't want to go to overtime because he knew he was going to lose an overtime.
Yeah, because right? 5 more minutes, you're probably giving Boston the edge there.
He ain't got no more gas after that.
I get it. Let me ask you this, though. Finals, I know we're not going to preview the finals until probably Thursday, but finals, Golden State, Boston. Who do you have there, Sean?
I don't want to see Boston win at all. I got Warriors.
That's right. Everybody but the Celtics. Anybody. Anybody.
All right, dude, have a good night.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Sean. That's the anybody but the Celtics. And I respect who they have. I respect. Look, Emi Udoka, rookie coach, going there. He was yours. He was here. You let him leave. Went to Brooklyn, assistant, couple more years there, bang, boom, head coach, Boston. They get off to a tough start. Everybody's destroying them, not only the players, but they're like, what is he doing there? What is Emi Udoka doing? Why does he not have this team playing the right way? Well, guess what? They're in the NBA Finals. The other 28 teams, you're not. including your Philadelphia 76ers. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, too. But, yeah, thought that was a bad shot. Let's go to Gerald in Los Angeles. What's up, G?
Hey, how's it going, Devon?
It's going all right, man. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Big shocking day for you guys, man. Sorry to hear that.
Shocking for a lot of people.
Yeah, one of the mentors there, one of the OGs, is leaving. You know, I didn't necessarily always agree with him, but I could respect his ability and the talent that he had in kind of keeping the afternoons entertaining. So I wish him the best, and, you know, I guess that's all we can all do, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So listen, man, on this shot, I can't call it a bad shot. Do I think it was the best shot he could have taken? No. My initial thought was the same thing. You got space, go to the bucket, see if you can get a foul on Al Horford. You got a chance to make a bucket, get fouled, get two free throws, or make a bucket and get an M1. That was my first instinct. The more I watch it, I got to look at the, like, again, that's not Jimmy's strength pulling up on that three. But there's a lot of players in the league. If they came down and did that, nobody would have a problem with it. That was Clay, or Steph, or a bunch of other people. They'd have been like, yo, go for it. So I don't think it's a bad shot. But was it maybe his best shot? Maybe not. But I can't hammer him too hard on it, because I really feel like, you know, it could have gone either way. He hits that shot, which he's done before. You know, we're not talking about it. We're talking about how great he is. And so I can't say it's bad. But was it the best shot? Maybe not.
Man, he had better options. That's for sure. Better options. And I get the, hey, I'm putting this on me. And you know what's great about him? He can carry that through the offseason, where everybody's talking about, like we are, bad shot, should he have taken a shot? He is one guy who can most certainly take that and not have it affect him in the offseason, knowing that, again, he missed it, an opportunity, maybe of him going in there, getting an easier bucket. He can live with it.
Well, and
a lot of players, that would destroy them.
Well, right, and here's the thing. Knowing Jimmy kind of the way, you know, having studied him and looked at him a little bit, I really think him being at peace with that shot is a really good point of strength for him, which is kind of speaking to what you're talking about. But I also think he'll take it to be like, let me be in a little better shape so that when I play every minute of the game, I have that little bit of extra legs to make that shot. Like, I think he'll use it to say, how can I have made that shot?
Sure.
I don't think he'll second guess, should I have driven? Which I think is a strength for him. I mean, I got to be honest with you, man. I've been a big fan of Jimmy Butler. I'm still mad to this day we let him get out the building.
Same.
And I can't understand the people that kind of hate on Jimmy. And I'm sure the people that hate on Jimmy in Philly, they was up in knots the last 2 weeks having to root for Jimmy or root for the Celtics. It must have been tough for the Jimmy Butler, for the Sixer fan. Jimmy
oh, that's
Butler.
Easy. You root not for the Celtics. That's what you do.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, man, seeing these teams, you know, the Sixers have some work to do, but to be really honest, I saw the one thing these playoffs thought out for me is there's more parity in the NBA than I thought there was. We all thought it was like two or three super teams that were going to dominate. Well, we saw L.A. didn't make the playoffs. New Jersey got bounced in the first round. You know, we got bounced out in the second round. There's a lot more parity than I thought there was.
I don't disagree. When we went into this playoffs, we talked about chances of so many others being able to win. Than just now, look, you thought Phoenix was going to win, and I'm not saying it just to say, I'm saying that that's what, you know, a lot of people would have bet their money that Phoenix was going to win. But then you also had Golden State, Memphis was showing up, Milwaukee, Boston on this side with the East Coast, they had a chance to win. So there were a good number of teams where people felt confident that one of those squads would have been able to win. And hey, man, you know,
but that's my point. My point is like, you know, Embiid plays those first two games and doesn't get hurt. We could have won this series and be playing right now.
Sure.
Memphis, you know, pushed to seven. There's a lot of these teams, a lot of these situations. And you saw it in series where one game the team wins by 20 and then the next game the other team wins by 20.
Yeah.
That tells me that the NBA, man, it's really a toss-up. And if teams make the right moves, anybody, there's 10 teams that can get to the finals every year now.
You're probably
All right, let's go.
10 is a stretch. I would say 10 is a stretch.
Let's just go through the East. New Jersey can get there potentially. We know Boston can get there. Sixers, if they make the right moves, can get there. We know Miami can get there. Like
Milwaukee can get there.
That's six in the East alone.
Okay, so you go Phoenix, Golden State. That's eight.
Memphis was right there this year.
But we saw where they were too young. Maybe this helps. Maybe this helps. That experience, of course. Maybe this helps.
But you realize we're at nine already. That's nine right there.
Yeah.
We got six in the East and three in the West right there.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Like, at the beginning of the season.
And then you'll have the Clippers coming back, Denver and Lakers, all that stuff.
I actually like that. I think that helps the Sixers.
I like it too.
We're not as far out as we thought. You know what I mean?
But the problem is, they're out. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Unfortunately, that's the problem. G, as always, man, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
All right, brother.
All right, man, you got it. 10 teams, Ty, as far as the parity goes in the NFL? I mean, the NBA?
10 teams?
10 teams. He just ran off in the East. Boston, they're there. Milwaukee, already won it.
Yep.
Brooklyn, Kevin Durant, Kyrie
Irving.
Still good. Philadelphia,
theoretically.
Philadelphia, Miami, that's five.
Okay.
Then you go to the West, Phoenix, Golden State. They're there now.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers, because of Kawhi
coming back. They'll get back and healthy.
Right. Denver.
Correct. They'll get back and healthy.
Murray and Porter. And then you go with Memphis or the Lakers.
Memphis
LeBron.
For sure. I don't know if I go Lakers anymore.
But, you know, until you can't count them out, you have to count them in.
I can count LeBron in. I can't count that team in.
Okay.
They're a mess.
I agree with you.
They have no picks. They have no money.
I agree with you. But he always finds a way to do something, doesn't he?
Sure.
That's why you count him in.
I think that the only...
They're at the bottom of the West part.
This is going to sound unbelievably blasphemous with what's about to come out of my mouth. The best way for that team to win next season is to find a trade partner for Anthony Davis.
We're starting to hear stuff about will they trade LeBron.
I guess, theoretic, too. But if you say, under your pretense where he has a will and a way to get there, without him, they don't do that.
You know the money matches?
Tobias Harris.
There you go.
Yeah, and every young player the Sixers have from here until eternity.
Win now. Win now.
That's the ultimate win now.
Ultimate win now.
You might get
LeBron
lucky, though. You might get Bronny Jr. at the end of this thing.
Hey, man. Embiid, LeBron, and Harden, and you go with whatever else you need to go with. Right? That's three right there. Everybody take a turn.
That's a big three if you have one.
That'd be crazy. That would be nuts.
The LeBron to the Sixers conversation came into the station and departed the station in one summer.
So that was...
And it will never... And I don't mean this station. I mean the train station, the metaphorical station.
That was
2018. Summer of 2018, right? Because it was right before he went to LA. And then they went to the bubble in 19.
Okay.
So I think it was the summer of 2018.
Okay.
That was the only chance in his career, I believe, that he would have been a Sixer. It would have made...
100%.
Basketball sense. It would have made basketball sense.
All the sense in the world at the time. All the sense in the world at the time. Yes. Man. Tobias Harris, you're up. You like Los Angeles? You want to be a movie star? Go ahead. You and Boban. Even though he's in Dallas. You and Boban. Go ahead.
Give me a John Wick 7.
They can make as many John Wicks as they want.
Yeah, I know you love them.
They make all these Fast and Furious. Make every John Wick you want. All of them. All of them. Oh, man. 610-632-0975 with you until 10 o'clock here tonight. Again, we'll get the leftovers at 9:45 with Tyler. You did them at 9:40 the other day.
Yes. There's a reason behind that.
Well, we talked about it anyway, you and I, but yeah.
Yeah, there was a reason for that. That was a one-time thing. But But there was a reason behind that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. You were about to say something.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Do you want to? We've been teasing this this list.
The list with the
grid, so long.
Whatever the heck is going on, they have there. All right, let's do it. So this list was put out. Who was this list put out by?
I don't know.
All right, we don't know. We don't care. But the list had cities and the best player in each city.
Bengals Jim.
All right.
That's who it was.
Again.
I don't know who that is.
Doesn't matter. So with that, they had Philadelphia on the list, and they had the best player. And they had some good ones. Like Boston, they had Jason Tatum, I remember off the top of my head. Portland, they had Damian Lillard. Right? Fair. Philadelphia, we have a lot, just like Boston does, a lot of really good players, if not great players. And we know for sure that you have two great players, absolute certainty, in Philadelphia. That is Bryce Harper and Joel Embiid. And they had Bryce Harper as a representative, as the best player in Philadelphia. Bryce Harper should have won the MVP last season like he did. Bryce Harper has been, in my opinion, worth every penny that he has signed for a couple of seasons ago. And even though he is the winner of the MVP for his sport, and Joel Embiid has been the runner-up for two consecutive seasons, I still think that Joel Embiid is the best player in the city. Tyler, when we sent this in exchange in text, we disagreed. We both agree that they're 1-2. We just have the order in reverse.
And it's so back and forth for me. And the margin is so razor thin. It's such a minuscule line between the two. And I think the reason that I go back to Harper being one, and this is so unfair to Embiid because he has been dominant and put the team on his back, and without Bryce Harper, maybe even to a greater extent, because obviously there's only five players on the floor for you at a time in the NBA compared to your eight positional players in baseball. It's also a half of the season length. It's also, you know, you are far more indicative of your team's success or failure as an NBA player than you are as a Major League Baseball player, especially as just a hitter. And I say just a hitter, but as a hitter. I think the reason that they put him on this list is because of the hardware and the lack thereof for Joel Embiid. Fair or unfair, I think that's the reason why they did it.
And look, I'm not taking away the hardware from his Washington time, was certainly the one that he collected last season. Well deserving. Was happy to see that he got it despite their poor record. That was fantastic, I thought. My only thing was, look, man, I just happen to believe that in this particular instance, Joel Embiid is the best player in the city. That's no knock on Bryce Harper whatsoever. And if I went with Bryce Harper, that's no knock on Joel Embiid whatsoever. I'm not saying that there's a negative to either of their games. I'm just simply saying that for what they are, for who they are, I think Embiid is the best player in the city. Five consecutive playoffs, all that he has done, dealing with the constant rotation of players. Some might say that's his fault. I personally don't think so. Some might say it's his fault. But what I'm saying is I think that with his level of consistency, while they haven't gotten out of the second round, they've also gotten there. And unfortunately for the Phillies right now and Bryce Harper, which is not his fault at all, I think Embiid is the best in the city.
So let me ask you this. Of the entirety of the NBA, where do you rank Joel Embiid?
You put me on the spot.
I know. Maybe don't give me. You don't have to give me an exact answer. Give me a roundabout answer. Is he top 10?
100%.
Is he top 5?
I have to put him at least top 7 as we dwindle it down.
Okay.
And I can't ignore where MVP, he belongs in the MVP number 2 like
sure.
He was, if not 1. He was on the top 10 for the second team All-NBA. But 6th because of his votes.
Right.
I say he's 6 out of respect for what Tatum did in getting that All-NBA.
Okay.
But then you look at Devin Booker, and I wouldn't say Devin Booker is a top five player in the league. I say he's a top maybe 10 because he played on the best team.
Okay, so you're looking at somewhere like five or six.
I say he's top seven, but probably top five, Joel Embiid.
Okay, of the hitters.
And look, we can't ignore injury for the season, right? Guys were hurt. They were hurt. Just they're out of it. As much as I love Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant is behind Joel Embiid for the season.
Sure. So let me ask you this. Of the hitters, because I'm not going to count pitchers into the consideration because there are top guys in the game that are just pitchers.
Yeah.
Of the hitters, where does Bryce Harper rank? Is he top 10?
I'll throw that back at you.
I would say, especially with how he's hit over the last two seasons. I will only do it with the Phillies because that's only fair, because I can't count his Nationals numbers before that. The last two seasons, he's been probably the fifth or sixth best hitter in baseball. I would say the players off the top of my head that I would believe are definitively better hitters than him would be, especially this year, Mookie Betts. I'm kind of drawing a blank on where I would get to definitively. Like, because statistically speaking, you know, like Shohei Ohtani won the MVP. Bryce Harper was better than him offensively last year. Now, granted, he won the MVP because he's a dual threat player. And it's insane.
He's a two-way guy.
But offensively, Bryce Harper was better than Shohei Ohtani, who won the American League MVP. I don't know if I can give you as many hitters that are better than Bryce Harper over the last two seasons than I can give you as many players that have been better than Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. Over the last same time frame. It's close. If I say Harper's five and Embiid's six, like, that's really, really thin margins, but I would have to take Harper as the better player.
I think we'll talk about this a little bit more
tomorrow. Yeah, I think so.
When we have a little more time to get into it, but it's a good discussion, and there's no knock on either player because they're both fantastic.
And we know that the impact, Joel Embiid's impact on the Sixers is far more substantial than Bryce Harper's impact on the Phillies. We know that both from the fact that the Sixers have made the playoffs and the Phillies didn't, and the fact that just from a win share standpoint, because of A, less players on the floor at one time than on the field, and B, the more importance of Joel Embiid as one player in a basketball game compared to one player in a baseball game, they're both very, very true. If you say who's the more important player to their team, the answer is Joel Embiid. Mm. I want to say who's been the best player, it might be Bryce Harper.
Okay, you got it, man. Thanks, that. Appreciate that. Come back, final segment, 9:45, Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. If you want to get in general, before we step away, final time for us at least to say again goodbye to Mike Missanelli. He's hanging them up, and today was his last show here on The Fanatic. We'll continue to do that. 9:45, Leftovers with Tyler Zuli next right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic on this Tuesday night. Javon Givens with you. Tyler Zuli with the Leftovers at 9:45. Coming up here, let me see what the weather is out there right now, because we're getting ready to leave and it's pretty hot. We had our friend FedEx driver, so it was baking out there today. So it's 86 right now out there. High was 97.
Oh, I got 82.
You have 82?
Yeah.
I have 86. Well,
these apps stink.
I have Philadelphia. What do you have, Balakinwood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it may be a little bit warmer in the city.
Yeah, okay. And 87 tomorrow. 87 tomorrow. 80% chance of rain on Thursday, but still 85.
Well, of course it is. Yep. Of course it's 85% chance of rain on Thursday. My day off. It always happens.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's the only relief you get. Now, things will go down back to the 80s, the low 80s, so we're all good. But no problem. No problem at all. All right, let's get to the phones. We have people who want to talk about Mike Missanelli and your thoughts on Mike. His last show today. And we had the pleasure of following. Not easy, though, because it's our guy and it's sad to see him go. So let's talk to the folks out there. Paula's in Hamilton. Wants to speak about Mike Missanelli. Paul.
Hey, Devon. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I got good things and bad things to say. Isn't that always the way?
Okay, all right.
the good things first. Mike Missinelli was an amazing broadcaster. He brought all aspects of life into his shows every day, music and movies and, of course, sports. And I followed him for many years and he always brought some sunshine into my life. But I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed with the way he left. I don't know. Of course, there's lots of business things involved there. And, you know, we'll never be privy to those. But I have to say, Beasley didn't do this really well.
Yeah, well, I don't know how it came about. So, you know, it's tough for us just because we just don't know. So, But yeah, of course, Mike, someone like Mike and stature of Mike Missinelli, legendary career over, you know, his time here. Who knows what he would have wanted. I don't know, you know, Paul. So yeah.
I wish him the very best. I'm just disappointed in the way it transpired. Any news about Tyrone and Jen?
No, I have no, that's tough. That's the stuff that, of course, all of that's above my pay grade. And that's where everybody there up top who makes those big decisions to allow me to sit here, they'll inform us all and we'll know. And then you guys will know what's actually going on. So, yeah.
All right.
Going to miss Mike.
And, I've been listening all night and I've been trying to think of the right way to say this. I hope it came across. Okay.
Well, I appreciate it. And I understand that you're not alone in that. And Paul, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we will all miss Mike. So, yeah, I mean, again, that's up for our bosses to make those decisions and see where things go from there. And they will. So that's about all I can add to that. I don't have anything else. So, Ty, what's going on with the Phillies?
3-3 in the, Connor Brogdon just got out of the top half of the inning. So 3-3 heading into the, I believe, the bottom of the seventh. Suarez threw a lot of pitches today. 100 pitches, got him through 4 1/3.
See, yeah, he still hasn't found his way yet.
No, it's been weird.
It has been.
And that's somebody that, by the way, you know that I have a lot of admiration for, a lot of respect for on the mound just because of the way that he goes and approaches the game.
Very much.
He's been off. He's been very, very off this season. And maybe it's kind of like Brian in Plymouth Meeting said to me when I said I like him a lot. That he said, you know, scouting and reports and tape and all of that is going to catch up to him. And he may have a little bit of a dip year. And I disagreed because of the way that he went about things. And so far, I've been proven wrong and he's been proven correct.
Yeah, I got you, man. Totally understand about that one. So hopefully they can get this one, man. They need to start to get on the run. They really do. They need to start just, we keep asking for it, but am I asking too much? For them to do it, are they capable of it? Any team is capable of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They are. They're certainly capable of it with the talent level
because
that they have.
Because of their bats.
Correct.
Yes.
They are too talented on paper because right now, I say this a lot, and I've said this 3 weeks ago, and I still will say this today because it's not even June yet. It's not June until tomorrow. They are not a bad baseball team. They are a horrendous baseball team right now. They are a terrible, terrible baseball team right now. In totality, I don't believe that they're a bad baseball team. And with that, I feel like there's enough talent, especially if you fire the manager, that you can maybe light a little bit of a spark and it happens. I'm not saying that they're going to get to, you know, 90 wins anymore. I think that you're going to have to try to sneak into the playoffs with 84, 85, 86. But it's certainly still feasible with the talent that this team has.
Yeah, well, they've lost 4 games in a row. They are tied right now, as you mentioned, 3-3 with the Giants, and they have one more to play with them on Wednesday. And then they have 3. This should be fun with Mike Trout coming home. Is this the first time he's been home? I don't remember another time when he's come home.
Ever? You mean his career?
To play?
Yeah, I'm sure that he has.
Was there one other time?
Yeah, I would imagine that he probably has.
I'm sure he has, but I just don't remember it like this one where it just stands out. And maybe it's because it's the weekend. I don't know. But
I think it's because it's an important series.
And the Angels
are good.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part, because I've already looked, because I'm trying to get tickets this weekend.
I know you are.
Because you know that's my AL squad.
Yes, I do.
Ohtani will not be pitching this weekend.
I see the lineup here.
Makes me very sad.
The rotation, and he's not part of
it. I was hoping then, if that was the case, to get Reed Detmers, but I don't know when he's going. And it's not Friday or Saturday.
It doesn't look like he's in there either.
He may be pitching Wednesday night then.
Yep. So there's that. But good stuff tonight. I know we still have 12 minutes, to go, and or 15 minutes to go before we sign off. But give us a poll update there, Tyler.
All right.
The question that we had about Jalen Hurts from earlier in the show.
Yeah, so we were talking about Hurts earlier because Dan Orlovsky put out a group of three tiers, and really it was only two tiers and then everybody else because he only gave the first two. But he ranked quarterbacks in these three tiers respectively. Tier one, quarterbacks that you win because of. Tier two, quarterbacks that you win with. And then tier three, quarterbacks that you win in spite of / unknown because of their age. We had about 600 votes on this one. Yeah, you still have some time to get in on this poll as well because I forgot how Twitter works for a second. And I made it, instead of a 3-hour poll, I made it a 21-hour poll. So you got plenty of time left.
That's all right.
With about 600 votes on this one, 70% of the people say that they would put him in category two, win with. 25% say win in spite of or unknown. 5% say win because of.
Yeah, well, that's not true yet.
No, it's not. I agree with you. It's not. He's not in the win because of yet category.
Yeah,
that's reserved for Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen. I even put Lamar in that category just because he's had such ridiculous regular season success. And I know he's 1-3 in the playoffs, but you win because of him. Brady, that's the win because of group.
We gave that list out.
Yes.
Of Orlovsky. We agree with him on those.
On almost every one.
100%. Then you have the questions of the others with. And we go from there. So how about this? Jaylen Brown. Or is this part of your leftovers?
No, but I did see this.
Yeah. Signing with Kanye West's sports agency?
Yep.
And look, I get people.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. He's a smart guy, so maybe, I'm sure he has done his homework and done his research. And Kanye West is Kanye West. Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. Good job by you. I wouldn't do it, but okay. Okay.
I understand. I think I understand the complexity as to why maybe you do it. First and foremost, obviously, it's a huge name. It's a big, big, big name. I also know that a lot of, I don't want to speak for all of them because that's very unfair, and we know a couple and they're very good people. There is a handful of agents in all professional sporting events and leagues and things like that, that are snakes in the grass.
Yes.
To put it nicely.
Yeah.
They're 100% out for their own ambition and their own vested interest, and they do not care about players as a whole.
Sure.
So I understand wanting to maybe get away from the traditional break of that, but I also know that there are a lot of younger or maybe, I don't want to call them inexperienced because they're good at their jobs, but having a less large influence or large reach, there are much better agents who are also good people that you could sign with.
I wouldn't do it. He has his reasons.
And I don't mean particularly this situation. I mean some of the agents like the...
Sure.
You know the names. It's a lot of Rosenhaus.
He's like the biggest one.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of names that are, big time that may not be great great PR people.
Not at all. All right, man. So look, as far as that Jalen Hurts part went with where he is, he has plenty of time to get to the win with or the win because of. He's just not there yet for me. We're all going to have to give him a chance this season, whether you wanted him here or not.
he's going to be your quarterback. So as a result, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with this new piece with his offense that will be A.J. Brown. I'm very interested with that, as we all know. And let's see how he now takes his game to another level where he is. They are winning because of him or with him, however you want to put it. Well, he's in that next tier, not the bottom tier.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see that at the end of this year, or maybe middle of this year, where if you don't believe, and I already do, but if you don't believe that he's in the win-with category, you're going to see him get into that win-with category simply because he's not going to do enough to manifest losses. I'm not sure he's going to get to anytime soon the win because of, unless he takes a big-time leap, but I think that he's already supplanted himself in the win-with,
yep,
and he can move up that list.
Yeah. All right, man, you said we have one more caller. Let's get Jay in here from Ivyland and talk about Mikey Miss. Jay.
I'm just sad, boys. What happened?
Yeah, Mike announced that today was his last day on the air.
Yeah, I don't accept that.
Yep, that's how it went.
No one checked with me.
No
one. I don't understand. I don't understand. I am super sad, and I just wanted to call somebody.
Did you listen to his announcement?
I went back and listened to it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it live.
He got emotional, and rightfully so, understandably so. And it's definitely going to be different to know that he's going to be off tomorrow, but not coming back on Thursday, right?
Yeah, I haven't accepted it yet. I'm 33 years old. He was every day for the past 10 years. His voice, like, it got me through so much. And, you know, like when you listen to a song and it, like, brings you back to a time, like, and you just, like, you remember something, makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
His voice was just comforting.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man.
It didn't matter if it was a happy time, a sad time, whatever time it was. It's time to listen to Mike.
No question. No question. No doubt about it. Well, listen, man, thanks, Jay. Sorry, you know, that we didn't check with you or Mike or anybody didn't check with you, but we still hope you give us a chance, man. Thank you.
Dude, I love you guys, and I'm still a listener, but hey, just wanted to give my shout out to the GOAT, man. I love him, and 97.5, man. Love you guys.
Thank you, Jay. Right back at you, man. Thank you for the kind words. Really appreciate it from Mike. And let's get to it. The screeching tires that are the beginning of The Leftovers with some Jay-Z behind it.
Let's do it.
Tyler.
And you know what's coming up this week. It's the NBA Finals.
NBA Finals.
So if I had to ask you, Devon.
Thursday, we need to do some NBA Finals trivia or something.
We do, because tomorrow.
Ooh, family game night?
Tomorrow will be family game night.
Okay.
So maybe we will do that.
Oh-ho!
So let's start with
knocking
that.
All of you down.
Let me ask you this. If you had to guess who the favorite to win MVP of the NBA Finals would be, who would you say?
The guest to be the MVP of the NBA Finals,
yes,
for the upcoming series. I would still go with Stephen Curry.
Then you would be correct, because in his 5 appearances in the NBA Finals, he has yet to win an NBA Finals. He is the favorite to be named the Finals MVP between the Warriors and the Celtics at many sports books around the nation. Now, here are some of the names that follow up. Jason Tatum, plus 180. Jalen Green, plus 1,000. Klay Thompson, plus 1,500. Draymond Green, plus 1,800. But the odds-on favorite is, in fact, Steph Curry.
My only two would be Tatum and Curry.
Makes sense. I mean, and then the money is the payout worth it?
Mm-hmm.
So he's attracted almost half the bets, 44% of all bets that have been placed at certain sports books. He's attracted the most bets in totality, including a pair of $2,500 wagers by a bettor in Colorado when the Warriors point guard was all the way at 10-1 to win MVP earlier in the playoffs. Now, the largest payout on a single MVP bet comes from Caesars Sportsbook. It is on Golden State's Jordan Poole back on April 16th as the playoffs just were getting started. Another Colorado bettor, so big money flowing in Colorado this series, placed a $500 bet on Poole to win the MVP at 200-1 odds.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm going with Curry or Tatum overall, though. Yes.
All right, let's move to the NFL next. As star defensive tackle Aaron Donald said that he would be, quote, at peace with his career if he and the LA Rams did not agree on a new contract. The Rams have acknowledged that they are working on a new contract for Donald, who is signed through the 2024 season. But here's the kicker. There is no more money guaranteed in Aaron Donald's contract. It was front-loaded by the Rams at the beginning of the contract. He indicated that his return to the NFL, not just to the Rams, but to the NFL perhaps in its totality, would be contingent on him getting a new deal. Now, he joined the I Am Athlete podcast. The 31-year-old joined Brandon Marshall, Pac-Man Jones, and LeSean McCoy and said, quote, "I don't want to play football if I can't win anyway. So I feel like if I get a real opportunity to win another Super Bowl, then it makes sense to play. But then again, it is all a business." He has said in the past that he would be content with getting into the league, playing 8 seasons, and being done. His past season that he just played, his 8th in the NFL.
That'll do that when you win a championship, right? They front-loaded your money. They give you all that cash as the best defensive player in the league. And you win, you forgive a lot. You forgive a lot. You know you are a legend there in that town of a lot of legends over the years. But for them to win and now him having to deal with this contract situation, win a title, you accept a lot of different things.
So let me ask you this. I've said that phrase quite a bit today. I got to stop using that phrase. Any interest, not that we have the ability to, but would you have any interest in going to see an NFL game in another country? Obviously, we know that London has been a big spot to play games, but now there are games that are going to be played in Mexico City, in Germany, and they're expanding further and further as the NFL goes on.
No, I have no interest.
Okay, so maybe that's why, and maybe it's because maybe the Germans don't have interest just yet either, but Allianz Arena, which is the home to Bayern Munich, is where the NFL game is going to be in Munich this upcoming season in 2022. I know the Seahawks are playing in it. I forget who they're playing. But the most expensive ticket for that game is at the 50-yard line. Makes sense. Field level also makes sense. But the most expensive ticket is 155 euros, which translates to about 166 American dollars. I don't know about you, Devon, but I think that that's pretty cheap for a one-time game. And the first game being played in Germany.
That is pretty cheap. That is really cheap. Listen, Germany is Germany. You want to go, you want to visit, you want to travel, all that cool stuff, great. But I'm not interested in it. If I'm over there, sure. And they would fill, it will fill up. But man, you know what I'm saying? You have any interest in that?
If I were there, yeah, absolutely. I mean, to take in another country is cool enough, but to take in a football game, an NFL football game in another country would be very, very cool.
Yes, it would be, but I have no interest overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you were there, you would go?
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
Yep.
Would you pay $166 for the best ticket?
Yes.
Or would you pay for the nosebleed seats, which come out to be just shy of $40?
$166 is not bad.
It's really not.
It's not bad.
That's a cheap Eagles ticket.
I would do that.
All right, one final story really quickly. Former Chicago Bears defensive tackle Akeem Hicks, who has been marred with injuries but has been incredibly successful when he's been on the field, signs a one-year deal for $10 million with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Really? Okay. They just keep on adding good players. And you, again, championship destination, they've already done it. They didn't do it last season, but guess what? You find the good players at a bargain number. Sheesh. Okay. Gotcha. Well, those are the leftovers.
That's our leftovers for Tuesday night.
Well, we want to say thank you for everybody for listening. Really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Tyler and I, family game night. And again, one more time, we thank Mike Missanelli for everything that he's done over all of the years. Good night, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.